if you listen carefully, we will prove our ability to transfer our thoughts to you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Barack Obama!
Obama and his wife, I'm concerned that they could be anti-white, that he might hide that.
Barack Obama!
I do not believe in, I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's an Arab.
Barack Obama!
Just the whole Muslim thing and everything. I mean, everybody's still kind of, a lot of people have forgotten about 9/11, but I don't know. It's just kind of a little unnerving.
Barack Obama. You realize he's black, don't you?
This don't make much sense, does it? We're at war with the Middle East, but we want somebody for president with a name like Barack Hussein Obama? Give us a break.
And now,
soy Barack Obama. Yo apruebo este mensaje.
Our feature presentation.
A lot of people don't know he's from Mexico.
I did not know that, but he's fluent. Yeah.
I thought he was an Arab. I'm so confused now.
Well, there's a small portion of Mexico where Arabs are...
Settled?
Yeah.
Settled, years and years ago?
Yes.
See, who says this program isn't educational?
Well,
I had no idea.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday the... It's Tuesday the 20th of the January.
There's no hair on her vagina. Do you think she's okay?
And there are very few days where there's just a single focus. Very few days where you can...
One story.
You can watch any news channel all day, every day today. One story all day. And this is just one of those rare days. Yeah. And that story is the Arizona Cardinals going to the Super Bowl. Mother effer.
I was going to guess the return of Lost tomorrow night. That's all I was thinking about. But you're saying it's the Cardinals.
Huh? I'm just saying that's...
I'm just saying I know a dude who on a lark, on a whim, put money down in Las Vegas for the Cardinals, one of the worst teams in football,
to win the
Super Bowl. And I saw an article yesterday making the case that they're the worst team to ever get to the Super Bowl, which I thought was very funny. But that dude was smart.
That dude was really smart.
How much money will that dude win if the Cardinals do, in fact, upset the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl?
On a $20 bet?
$1,200. Dude!
That sounds good.
How bad? You!
Not bad, right?
Not bad. What were the odds?
I think it was 60 to 1.
60 to 1?
Does that make sense?
It's somehow, I don't know. It seems like you should win more.
I only bet $20.
I know. Yeah. But still, that's such a Hail Mary.
It was a Hail Mary. That's true.
It's awesome. The year that I did it, when I put $100 down on the Raiders, of course, you know, the Cardinals are bad, but they're not Raiders bad. But, of course, you know, that was just money that just evaporated. I got nothing out of that.
Nope. Yeah, that's true.
It was just a waste.
Well, most of the time, it's that kind of bet is a waste.
Of course, yeah. But that's why the odds are so good. Hey, we are going to take your calls, by the way, on the upcoming Super Bowl, on the inauguration, on anything that's going on for you this Tuesday morning. 1-800-520-1067. We'll get your calls in about a minute. I wouldn't want to be in Washington, D.C. for anything today. Have you seen any of the crowds down there already?
No, I haven't been watching.
Not this morning, I haven't. No.
Oh,
I've been hearing news reports, though.
It's unbelievable.
Insane, right?
But wait a minute.
It's a pretty small area for 2 million people to try to cram into, which is what they're expecting.
It seems somehow beneath the office, though, that they're going to do the swearing in a mall. You know? It's like, what, the food court?
Across from Macy's.
I don't understand that.
Paul Blart is doing security, though. I know that. It's 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock this morning, our time, is when the actual swearing in. And it's funny because look how much is built up around this. And I think the actual swearing in ceremony is what, like 30 seconds or something like that?
Yeah, it's not very long at all. Yeah.
But then there's a speech one. Did you see any of the events over the weekend, any of the concerts or anything like that?
I saw the HBO thing last night.
Didn't see it.
It was really cool.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good.
Boy, talk about the star power, though, huh?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Everybody was
unbelievable, the people who are involved in something like that, that just want an opportunity to participate, I guess. You know, people like Tom Hanks and Garth Brooks and Bruce Springsteen and, you know, Mary J. Blige, just all the big names were there. It was pretty interesting.
And they were just, they had a song to perform, or what was
They would sing several songs, and other people would come out to join them, and then they'd have stars come up to the podium and recite something historical or whatever.
Sounds
it was
terrible.
Funny. No, it wasn't, though. But when Jack Black, did you notice this, Bean? When Jack Black was up, Everything he said, he sounded so mad.
He sounded angry?
Yeah, he sounded angry. I don't know. It was odd delivery.
He looked like, to me, like he was way uncomfortable and felt like he was way out of place. Like he almost had to treat it with comedy because he knew he really shouldn't have been there.
No, I don't.
Why was he there, by the way?
I don't think he was being funny. I think he was trying to be dramatic, but it came off as mad.
No.
I think that's what it was.
Was he one of the people that was outspoken before the
election? Don't remember.
Yeah, there were some people that were up there at the the steps of the Lincoln Memorial that I don't remember ever saying a word during the campaign. Not like they were out there beating the bushes for, no pun intended, for Barack Obama, but people like Steve Carell were at this thing, this HBO thing. But some of the music was pretty good and it was pretty entertaining.
Kevin, you don't feel like you missed anything,
nope,
do you?
Not a bit.
We didn't really bring that to life, maybe.
No, your explanation of how they walk up to a podium and read from something.
I don't know.
It was good. I mean,
but they said good stuff.
All right.
That's all.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Well, time for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. We will take your calls on any topic and give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Somehow, former producer Lightning must still be involved with selecting the prizes for What to Do Nephew, because today it's a pair of tickets to the NHRA Winter Nationals, which are coming up on Sunday, February 8th at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona.
Imagine that.
Let's go!
First call.
Let's go! Let's go!
Mike, how are your boys looking?
Never better. Oh!
Is this a wire-to-wire season?
Stop it, Mike.
I'm just getting this in my ear. LeBron James has another turnover. Just happened.
LeBron
right
James and Cleveland Cavaliers, one of the three best teams in the league.
Absolutely.
So, sweetness. Here's call number two. Good morning.
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
All right.
Hold on. A Clipper fan wants to weigh in.
The Laker era is over.
Well, a lot of evidence for that.
Sir, your thoughts?
Laker!
Change topics and talk to Dave on line one. He's in L.A. calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What to do, nephew? 1-800-520-1067. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
King of Mexico?
Oh, yeah, did that, you see Dave? This weekend's games?
This weekend's football games or basketball?
No, basketball. The Clippers won 1 out of 2.
Dave.
They almost won 2 games in a row.
Have they ever won 2 games in a row?
Not this season. Hit it, Steve. Play the song.
What song?
You know, but the clip is going to be I.
Oh, that one. Okay.
All right. Let's try Jesse in East LA on line 3 on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Jesse, what'd it do?
Hey, the Lakers won. They beat the number one defense.
That's correct.
And they're the number one offense. It was a pretty physical game. Did you guys see it?
I did not see all of it. No, I didn't see. I didn't see the end of it. But it looked like a good matchup. And I'm always excited when the Lakers play any of the other two, great basketball teams, Cleveland and Boston. So
yeah,
good times.
Kobe dislocated his finger. They popped it back in place, and he played the rest of the game.
Yeah, that seems bad.
Kobe dislocated his finger about 20 seconds into the game, and grimaces in pain and runs off in the middle of the play, going, oh, oh, you're holding his hand, and you're going to see, like, collectively 18,000 right. people at Staples Center, like, oh, no, you got to be kidding.
No.
Did they put him in a wheelchair and then carry him off the court?
No.
And then he came running back in the next minute?
He's not bitch-made like Paul Pierce. They just threw a strand of tape on his finger, and then he went out and dominated.
Yeah, he had a few points. They did pretty poorly, him and LeBron James, but they came back towards the end.
That is a great recap. Thank you for calling, Jesse. We appreciate that.
Highly inaccurate and terrible.
This has been Laker Talk 2009. I think that's perhaps, well, maybe we have time for one more since I see who now is on line one.
Hey, Dwan.
What's up, Kevin and Dane?
What's good going
morning,
on,
Dwan?
Man?
Nothing. I'm glad the Lakers won yesterday.
As are we.
Yep.
Are you a Laker fan?
No.
Dwan, your smoke detector is still beeping, dude.
I told the manager and the owner they got to fix it right away.
Okay. Just, but it just needs a new 9-volt battery. We could have someone come over and do it.
That's okay.
Okay.
But, Dwan, it takes less than a minute to fix that. You've been living with that chirping for a month. Doesn't it drive you crazy?
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, then please answer the question for me. Why don't you take the 60 seconds that it takes to swap out the battery?
I took the battery out, but I didn't put the new battery in yet.
Does it chirp if you took the battery out?
Some of them do, I think. Oh, right. I don't know how they do it, but.
So you were calling about the Lakers, though, Dwan?
Yeah, about the Lakers won.
And are you a big fan?
Not yet.
Not yet.
You're working on it.
My uncle loved the Lakers.
Okay.
Yeah, he watched them all the time.
What is it that you're waiting on to decide? Because you said not yet. I'm just wondering what a team has to do.
They got to win the championship this year.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And then you'll like them.
That's looking pretty good.
Uh-huh. They almost won the championship last year, but they got beaten by the Boston.
Yeah, that was pretty, that was hard to watch. Yeah.
If they had won last year, you would be a fan now. You would like them if they had won.
Yeah. And okay. I think I heard that you guys going to have a guest at your show today.
Oh, yes. You
From
did
Beverly Hills
that.
90210, the actress Annalyn McCord is going to be on.
Oh, okay.
Now, who does she play on your favorite show, 90210?
What show are you talking about?
Beverly Hills 90210? Isn't that the show you like?
90210, that's the title, yeah. Yes, that's my favorite.
Okay, who does she play on that show, Dwan?
Naomi.
And what can you tell us about her? Because we don't watch the show.
Her character's, like, kind of rude.
Okay.
Like, she'd be rude to other people in school sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I got
you. She don't want to be bothered. She's rich, wealthy.
Wait a minute. Somebody on 90210 is rich?
The character is rich.
Okay.
Naomi, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Is she pretty, Dwan?
Yes, she is. She's cool.
All right. Well, we're very excited. Are you going to be up to listen to that in the 7 o'clock hour?
Parts of it, but I have to be at work at 8 o'clock a.m.
Well, I think she's on a little bit after that, Dwan. I'm sorry. It sounds like you're going to miss her.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, we're going to let you go then. I'm glad you called. Happy New Year. Have fun watching the inauguration today or whatever you're doing, okay?
All right.
All right. Change that battery.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
That'll do it.
Way before Christmas. That's all I'm saying. Before Christmas.
I know.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show. We are going to talk to Ed Espinoza, who is a K-Rock listener who's in Washington, D.C. He's the Democratic delegate. I believe he's a super delegate.
Oh.
I think you're right.
Which means they get to wear a cape everywhere they go.
Friend of mine, I don't know if you want to try to talk to her. I can try to get her on the phone. Friend of mine was at an event in Washington, D.C. last night, met and shook hands with President-elect Obama and Vice President-elect Joe Biden.
Wow.
No kidding.
That's pretty cool.
Seems like they would be difficult to get to this week.
Mm-hmm.
Does seem like they would be busy. I don't have a lot of the details, but I can try to find out. That might be worth finding out what that's like.
Sure. Also on today's program, the girl that went crazy texting sent 14,000 texts in, I think it was a month.
That must be all she did.
Yeah. About every two minutes.
She couldn't go to school.
About every 2 minutes she sent a text.
Or eat. Well, you could eat, I guess. But.
You
can't do.
Nobody's that important. That's the thing. You don't have that much to share. You got to be just running off at the mouth. I mean, if I got a text from somebody every 2 minutes, I would change my number.
That would be annoying.
We also are going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what went on over the weekend with the celebs. We're going to talk to our token black listener, Anel.
Okay.
Love him. He's the best. He's going to come into the studio.
Great.
Let's see. What else do we have here? Obama songs.
Which, you found more?
Yes. Some of which are not good. Most of which are not good, if I could be so bold. So we'll give you some more of those coming up just after 6 o'clock. And we continue to try and track down that Carl's Jr. Chick that's in the commercial when she's all dressed up in the blue dress.
The one that Ralph loves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we also have a K-Rock listener who's a Cardinals fan on the show.
Oh, that's right,
today,
yes.
Don't we? Made a bet with Ralph about the what were the particulars of that? Because
I don't remember. I think he was going to get a tattoo if Arizona won.
Yeah, I think
won,
that's right. I think that's right, yeah.
So I think that may happen.
If
the Eagles won,
bets.
He was going to get a tattoo because he's an Arizona fan.
Oh, if the Eagles won. Oh, I see. Okay, so now what does Ralph have to do?
I think Ralph has to shut the F up, I think is what the other half of that bet was.
Yeah, he's not supposed to talk about the Eagles for the rest of the year.
Oh, wow.
The year.
For the whole year till December?
Right? Was that not the bet?
Wow, good times.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll catch up on that and find how that's going. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next.
What just happened?
Mike just expressed himself in his pants.
He's harkening back to when he used to make that noise every time we played 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah.
Kevin Abeen Show 554, and it is time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
You are Mother Humper. Congratulations to your Arizona Cardinals.
How about that?
Telling you something, that Larry Fitzgerald, he's a beast.
Unbelievable.
He is the man.
He's got glue on his hands, doesn't he?
He's 9 feet tall, 400 pounds, hands the size of trash can lids.
Yeah.
And can pretty much catch everything that comes his way.
It's unbelievable.
Very exciting game with that team I can no longer talk about.
It was a tale of two halves, though, wasn't it, Ralph?
Yeah, they made it interesting, that's for sure.
They sure did.
That other team that I can't talk about.
That team you'll never say, mention their name again?
And for the rest of 2009.
And I don't remember who we played, so.
See?
You know?
So we're all at a loss.
That's how that goes.
All I know is, go Pittsburgh! I can talk about Pittsburgh all I want! Woo! Pittsburgh!
You can't root for Pittsburgh.
I have to.
You can't.
I have to. I have no choice. I have no choice. It's the law.
You're an NFC man, I guess, right? Or an AFC man, I mean.
No, I'm an NFC guy.
You're an NFC guy, so you can root for Pittsburgh.
No, because Pittsburgh's AFC.
But are you a rivalry?
Well, yeah, but now we hate the Cardinals more than we hate them.
Oh, all right.
That's right.
Because of what they did to that other team that I can't talk about. You know what I can talk about? You guys ever watch NFL Network?
Yes.
I love the NFL Network.
Me
I watch
too.
It all the time. Do you ever watch their show called Playbook? Which
no.
is, they do an NFC playbook and an AFC playbook each week where they break down the upcoming games for that weekend and they talk about the teams and kind of break down the statistics and the team's qualities and that kind of stuff. There's a host on that show, a former NFL player named Brian Baldinger.
Mm-hmm.
Played with the Cowboys, played with the Colts, little time with the Philadelphia team that I can't talk about anymore. And he's got to get his hand fixed. Or else he has to leave network television.
Why?
He's got a pinky that goes off his hand at a right angle.
Oh!
Really?
I guess it's a hangover from his playing days. But he talks with his hands a lot, and he's got
dear.
9 perfectly human-looking fingers, and then the pinky on his right hand just juts off at a right angle just from his hand.
Pinky of death?
Someone came in just before the cameras rolled and just snapped it off. His hand. I can't watch it anymore.
So
I cannot watch it.
It's like that 24 hours a day for him?
He lives with that. No, he lives with that all the time.
Oh.
There's got to be a doctor somewhere who can fix that, right?
Yeah.
Tape it to the next one.
If you can't fix it, you can't be on television. I start to get a little throw up-y every time I look at his hand.
Mike would throw up,
yeah.
For sure.
I go, no, cut away. Go to Shirt Skirt. Go to Sterling Sharp. I start to gag. I can't do it.
Wow, that sounds distracting.
Maybe we get him on the phone this week and recommend a good orthopedic surgeon.
Please fix
Brian
the finger.
Baldinger. Please fix
you could
the
never
finger.
Watch Bree Walker, could you?
Oh, Flipper used to wig me out. Yeah, I could never watch her either. She would give me the willies. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we?
Okay.
Oh, I'll tell you, that Osborne family, they're a bunch of knuckleheads.
Yeah?
What's up with them?
Kelly Osborne is in trouble. Apparently, she slapped a writer in the face, a gossip columnist.
Runs in the family.
It does. They're a very violent group.
Yeah.
When Ozzy threatened to beat up Lightning with a baseball bat?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had it coming.
Us Weekly reports that she was arrested on assault charges earlier this month over an incident that occurred last August in London, England.
Really? That took a while.
Well, the Brits aren't big on Law and Order over there. It takes them a while to get around the stuff. But apparently they were out, and a gossip columnist named Zoe Griffin was taunting the pair and threw a bunch of nasty insults at Luke Worrell, Kelly's fiancé. Kelly went off, started shoving, and then eventually slapped the writer in the face in front of witnesses.
Hmm.
So she's in a bit of trouble.
Hmm. Well, it's England. Nothing will happen.
Could have been worse. She could have sat on you.
That's true.
Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi have announced they are giving up their... they're changing their eating habits. Now that they're an old married couple, they've given up eating all animal products. They gave up
meat a long time ago.
They are vegans, and they said that they are both hardcore animal lovers. And they say this is the way to go because it's the compassionate choice. So people have been noticing Ellen looks a little gaunt these days. Apparently there's a reason. Her vegan diet has caused some major weight loss. And they say they're sticking with it, though. That's the way they're going.
Do vegans eat tuna, or is that out as well?
Wow, I can't get a joke in edgewise with you guys. I guess everything just... Couldn't resist, huh? Well, you guys don't get a chance to talk much on the radio, so I can understand why you'd have to jump all over my jokes. DJ AM is done with his new girlfriend. According to Star Magazine, why do you think I would do a story about Portia de Rossi and Ellen DeGeneres becoming vegans? Why do you think I would go there?
Because it's an interesting story.
Just because that? Because there's a lot of interest in what they're eating these days? Yeah. That's why I would tell that story?
I think.
That's what you people thought. Okay. I just want to see what the thought process is like. What goes on through your minds
you
while I'm doing
the stories.
Stories
for the jokes?
What?
Don't be ridiculous.
Wow. Lisa finally got it after 10 years. When are the rest of you going to get on board? That's what I'm curious about. DJ AM is done with his new girlfriend. No, seriously. When I started doing the story about Ellen DeGeneres.
You know how my mind works.
No, but you know.
I was thinking Mall Cop.
You know, and Bean. Everybody just. I'm just saying. What were you thinking? Where do you think that story was headed?
Where do you think Ralph's joke was?
What do you think that was going to be?
We've addressed this issue before, and I'll say what I always say, which is, if I think of it, it probably is below the level of what a joke needs to be for Ralph to say it. So I just figure you've got something, you've got gold stored
up. It doesn't matter what I say. Err on the side of caution, and just shut up.
But if I think of it, it's not that good a joke. So we're not missing out.
And then if I think of it, then I'm saving you the embarrassment of having delivered it.
I see.
I don't know. Okay. Just making that up.
DJ AM is done with his new girlfriend. Star Magazine says he was dating an American Apparel model named Haley Wood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she is 13 years younger than he is.
Oh, my gosh. He's not that old.
No, he's not. And he said he couldn't stand it anymore because she doesn't appreciate the 80s music that he likes, not realizing that she wasn't born before they were playing the 80s music that he liked. So he's split up with her. I think DJ AM misunderstands the concept of dating a model.
I think you might be right.
You may not want to date them for their musical tastes.
Yeah, that's true.
You date them for them being naked and young.
Yeah.
And Fox has announced they've picked up a sitcom for next season about a mall cop in Buffalo, New York.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yeah. What, do they come in on the holiday yesterday and say, we've got to get us some of this?
It's pretty much, right? He said they've announced that they are doing a mall cop sitcom for next season, so Kevin will just be rolling around like a pig and you know what.
Yeah. Kevin, did you make it to Paul Blart? That was your pick of the week.
Yeah, I did not. I didn't have time. But I wanted to, and I still do.
You're not alone. All of America is Kevin's people. Wouldn't it be great if during the inauguration, President Obama says, and I'm also going to, my first act as president is to get Paul Blart out of theaters. You're going to pull it on every screen in the United States.
He signs by it now.
If he really cared about America, that would be his first law.
Right there at the podium.
Right
he signs
at the podium.
It.
After he takes his hand off the Bible, he just turns to the crowd and says, F Paul Blart. Pull it. Martial law. And American Idol chick from the episode with the bikini. The girl who came on and auditioned to the bikini. Apparently, she's a local girl.
Oh, really?
Sweet ass.
West Covina, California. She was recently fired from her job as a greeter at the West Covina Hooters.
Why was she fired from
fired
Hooters,
from
for God's sake?
Apparently, she was repeatedly taking breaks during the middle of her shift.
Hmm. Not a great work
ethic. She couldn't handle the pressure of being a greeter at Hooters. Apparently, she needed to take a bunch of breaks.
Say hello to people every time they walk in the door, Ralph.
And her Hooters, by the way, the least... attractive part of her body.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not very impressive Hooters. So I'm surprised she was right. She should have been working at Ass Cheeks, which is another restaurant just down the street, which I believe serves a delicious bratwurst.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Try a bratwurst in our Ass Cheeks. They often say to you.
Two of the van drivers here at K-Rock are banging chicks at that Hooters. We should probably try and get her on. I bet you we got an in, you know?
One of the friends there at Hooters says about Katrina, as her name is Katrina Durrell, 21 years old. All Katrina ever talked about was becoming famous. Her one aim in life was to make it in Hollywood. Mm. Well, apparently she's on her way. She will be returning to American Idol to see if she can sing.
Unless she also wears a bikini in the Hollywood round, I don't think she's talented enough to move on beyond her first audition.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see, won't we? I'm going to wear her ass for a hat. Today's celebrity birthdays. Director David Lynch is 63 years old today.
He's crazy.
Yes, he is.
If you go to davidlynch.com, his website, he will tell you the temperature and the weather for today. He updates it every day.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
That's crazy.
Kiss guitarist Paul Stanley is 57 years old today. Talk show host Bill Maher, comedian, is 53. Rainn Wilson, our buddy from The Office, is 43. Skeet Ulrich is 39 years old today. Linkin Park drummer Rob Dyrdek is 30 years old today. And Bean's old pal Buzz Aldrin, Edwin Buzz Aldrin,
yes,
astronaut,
come on,
turned 79 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We're not rich like y'all. That's one thing y'all gonna have to understand. This year we will be, because we have Barack Obama.
That's right. Everybody in America is gonna be rich starting at 9 o'clock this morning when Barack Obama is sworn in.
I hope he can do 1/100th of the things people are hoping he can do. That'd be awesome.
I do too. Otherwise, people are going to be disappointed. About 3-4 days from now, people will be going, hey, wait a minute. It's not all rainbows and puppies now. What happened?
Nothing's changed yet.
He hasn't had time. He's not even taken over yet.
I know.
After the Paul Blart thing, then he's going to move on to the business of state.
That's right.
We've been searching the internet, and a lot of people have put their enthusiasm about Barack Obama into songs, and most of them shouldn't have.
Sure. They can't contain themselves, Kevin.
Because they're not good? The first Barack Obama song that I would like to play for you is I think it's bluegrass. Bean can tell you better after he hears it, but this is, and if it is bluegrass, it's shocking that they're voting for Obama and they're excited about
it.
But here
point.
We go.
Obama, Obama, vote Barack Obama.
Obama, Obama, vote Barack Obama.
Vote Barack Obama, vote Barack Obama.
Vote Barack Obama, vote Barack Obama.
A lot of lyrical change.
I do feel that you need more in a successful song than just saying somebody's name over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't think it's bluegrass. I think it's crap.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think that was.
That could be, too.
It was in the crap category.
Here's another one where they're talking about the voting. Everybody was so excited about the voting, trying to get everybody, you know, out. Mm-hmm. And this person is pretty repetitious as well.
Oprah Winfrey is for rocking the vote. Maria Shriver is for rocking the vote. Will Smith. It's Barack in the vote. George Clooney. It's Barack in the vote. Halle Berry. It's Barack in the vote.
See, because she put Barack and Barack in the vote together.
Uh-huh. Because it sounds
that.
Like rock.
And
yeah.
then said it a whole bunch of times.
And she just named a bunch of people.
Now, you think that most people that voted for Barack Obama did it because he's black?
No, I don't think most people.
I don't think
people.
So. No.
I don't either. There was a lot of talk about that. I don't think so. And this guy certainly didn't.
I love Barack Obama. I want him to be the president. It's not cause he's a black guy, he's a black guy, he's a black guy. It's not cause he's a black guy, it's because he's a bad mother.
Hey, Tom DeLonge, is that going to be on your next album with Angels and Airwaves or what?
No!
It sure sounds like you.
Just no?
Yeah.
That's it? All right. Here is reggae song number one, and there's a difference.
Barack Obama, boy, boy. Now you can hear it in the morning,
Obama,
and you can hear it in the evening,
Obama,
black man and white woman shouting,
Obama.
That's just not good.
Yeah, that's not good. Obama. And then here's another reggae song.
Vote Barack, Barack. Vote Barack, Barack.
Obama.
To put the country in the right direction, to fight injustice and stop corruption.
Barack, Barack.
I don't think you can add political messages to reggae, because reggae makes you want to smoke out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes, it really doesn't fit.
And then you don't really care that much about really anything except for eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Will.i.am song? I got it from my mama. Where'd you get that?
That's
ass?
A terrible song.
I got it. It's a horrible song, but at least they remade it as an Obama song.
Tell me, where'd you get your education? Baby, where'd you get your education?
I got it from Obama. I got it from Obama. I got it from Obama.
Yeah, but at least that's not repetitious, and then they keep singing that throughout the whole song. So that's right. Good. Remember Rihanna's song, Please Don't Stop the Music, that sampled the Michael Jackson song?
Yes,
this is an Obama song talking about voting for Obama that samples the Rihanna Michael Jackson sample.
Dear Lord.
Yes.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can change for a better day. Come and take us away from the old to the new, better U.S. of A. You're the light of hope, the sun. We're becoming one. Trust you like a mama. Please go vote. Please go vote. Please go vote Obama.
Yeah.
I need a flow chart to follow the pedigree on that number.
Yeah, there was a lot in there. Here's a fantastic song about Barack Obama.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States of America.
Now, this is my favorite song because the guy does all of it with his mouth, and it does not get repetitious.
Barack
Obama, 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 Obama,
call him president, he's the next new president. He is senator from Illinois. Yeah, his criteria compared to John McCain, this isn't fair, cause he's BLAC, so the eyes are on T. Through his pencil, he write legislation with the country on his mind, and he don't coke-ish, cause he ain't got time. Every second, minute, hour, KKK wanna devour. He got guards ready to pop him with their ch-ch-ch-ch-choppers. Every brother, mother, sister, cousin, grandma wanna hump him. Even got Hillary Clinton on the side, ready to jump him, tell the Clintons, I couldn't catch him.
Wow. Okay.
And then it goes on like that for about another 15 minutes. And even Hispanics are getting in on this song thing.
Viva Obama!
Viva!
Viva Obama!
Viva!
Familias unidas, seguras, y hasta con plan de salud. Viva Obama!
Viva!
Viva Obama!
Viva!
Un candidato luchando por nuestra nación.
I don't know what they're saying, but they seem happy.
I hope someone's alarm went off during that, and they think they're listening to Super Australia 106.7. How about our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, yeah. The entertainment website of record, and of course TMZ Television weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. Harvey, I can't believe you, being a big-time star, are not in Washington, D.C. with all the other big-time stars today.
I feel lousy. I mean, I really, really regret not going, I got to say. I mean, it's so exciting.
It does seem like, and I don't know why this is, it seems like the biggest inauguration of my lifetime. What's going on, Harvey?
It's just, you know, it's funny that with all of the, you don't need me to say this stuff, but I mean, it's amazing that, you know, in a bad time like this, people can all unify, and I think that's what happened here. It's just a big moment, and for me, I mean, I remember Martin Luther King. You know, it was just such a, you know, impossibility to see a day like this, and it really is just cool. Now, that said, Dionne Warwick and Ludacris have lost their balls.
What are you talking about?
Excuse me?
They have lost their balls, officially.
Why?
Can you explain?
Tell us how Dionne Warwick lost her balls.
Yeah, because officially, I don't know how she could.
No, they can. She did. They just announced they were both going to have unofficial inaugural balls in Washington, D.C.
Oh!
And they canceled them because of slumping ticket sales.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, and the funny thing is, I got a million things to tell you. I mean, we're all over D.C.
Sure.
And so she was bragging to us how the hotel had given her, like, a really great room and all of this stuff, and they'd given him like seven rooms. Well, now that the hotel did this, they're left holding the bag because she couldn't sell tickets. So they just put something, the hotel just put something out that people will get refunds within 45 days, and it's a mess.
Wow.
Now, let's talk about these inaugural balls for a minute, because there are 20 of them or something like that, and there are official ones that the president and his wife will attend, and then lots of other people throw kind of unofficial parties and just do the best they can, try to make them work, right?
Well, that's what happened with Dionne Warwick and Ludacris. I mean, there are a lot of stars want to get in the act on this thing, which I think is kind of funny. I mean, you know, it's great that, you know, people like Tom Hanks, who, you know, he's always involved in things.
Right.
You know, it's great that he's there and involved. But there are some that are just, it's just stupid that they're just hitching their horse to the wagon. And the one I hate the most, I'm sorry, you know, I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
Jessica Alba.
How dare you?
Well, I'm sorry, but you know what?
Why do you hate her the most?
Because she's ridiculous. Did you see her on, she was on TV yesterday, and somebody just as a joke, they said, on Fox, they said, give a shout out to Bill O'Reilly. And Bill O'Reilly's an a-hole, and she's such a little bitch. And
how
always, no,
dare you?
Always, no, she is always, she's mean, and she's gruff, and... You know, I mean, the only pleasure I took, honestly, with Jessica Alba was we got video of her, and she actually said something. She said, you know, go Barack. It's the only time she's ever, you know, said anything around photographers. And then she got stuck in a revolving door. Just loved.
I hate to say this, but I'm going to have to. If you're going to make us choose between you and Jessica Alba, it has been great. It's been great knowing you, Harvey.
I wasn't even asking you to choose. Okay. I mean, I'm just saying, why does she have to be so damn mean all the time?
I had no idea she was mean.
You have more interaction with her than I do. My last interaction with her was watching her in Sin City. So
That's the thing.
By the way, speaking of the celebrities that are hitching their wagon, Harvey, I couldn't believe it when I logged on to TMZ.com over the weekend and saw Heidi and Spencer wearing Barack Obama t-shirts. They were out all over the place stumping for John McCain during the campaign.
Now, I'm going to tell you something that you're not going to believe.
All right.
So, Wolfgang Puck, famous chef, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Owns a restaurant in Beverly Hills called Cut, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, they have pictures all over the wall in this restaurant. And there's, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise. Big stars. Like,
right.
The biggest stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they got a huge picture. And it's this really famous artist. And they got this huge picture of Barack Obama that's also kind of facing the dining room.
Yes.
They have added two pictures next to Barack Obama.
Don't say Spencer and Heidi. Please don't say Spencer and Heidi.
Then I'll shut up.
Please say Spencer and Heidi.
Come on. Why would Wolfgang Puck even put them on the wall?
Next to them. Closer than Arnold. Closer than Tom Cruise. Closer than Brad Pitt. Closer than a lot of big people in there.
Hey, they did their part to get him elected. They threw their support behind McCain, and that probably ruined it for him.
That probably did put Barack Obama over the top. You're right about that. Spencer and Heidi couldn't get jobs as busboys at that restaurant. They certainly shouldn't have their picture on the wall. Unbelievable.
Barack Obama.
That is just wrong.
That's awesome.
That is crazy.
Where were they when you took their picture wearing the Barack Obama t-shirts?
They were somewhere in L.A.
Awesome.
I mean, you got
just riding bikes.
They're so shameless that you just got to hand it to them.
Yeah.
Okay, now some more gossip?
Yes.
So Cher's in D.C., right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So she goes to Sephora. So we, you know, we're just, you know, we're all over D.C. right now. I mean, we're walking around. We're asking everybody questions. It's just really great. And so Cher goes into Sephora. So somebody from my office calls over to Sephora and says, what did Cher buy there? How much did she spend in there? Because she came out with a big pack.
Is that a makeup store?
It's a makeup store.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
It's in all the malls.
Lisa, make a guess. How much?
Oh,
For Cher?
Well,
No, mind you, she's already traveled there, so presumably she's brought stuff, right?
Well, the way you're saying it, I'm going to say $500.
$915.
Oh, that's a lot of makeup.
Wow. Is that...
Well, she's pretty old.
She's got to plaster it on.
She's got a lot to cover up.
My God.
$915.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you, how dumb we can be. So we get Yo-Yo Ma at the airport, right?
Sure.
Hey.
And, you know, Yo-Yo Ma is like the biggest, you know, classical
music star, probably.
Period.
In the world.
Yeah.
And so he's playing at one of the inaugural events. So our guy comes up to him, and he just got excited. And he asked him, he said, did you, like, win a raffle to get this? He's asking if he won a raffle.
Did he not know who he was?
I don't think he would. But it was like he was thinking of it like Ed McMahon is knocking at his door.
That's funny.
And it was just, and he was like so gracious. It was hilarious.
You won, Yo-Yo.
Congratulations.
So we just get Star Jones.
Yes.
And asked her, is there a good place to eat in D.C.?
Well, nice.
She would know.
She would
probably
know.
Got a Rolodex of every city she visits and all the restaurants that are there.
You're going to love it. Guess what she said?
Right.
Cheesecake Factory.
Yes. Washington, D.C. has a particularly good Cheesecake Factory.
Right.
Thank you much for that.
Harvey, you guys are having way too much fun over there at TMZ today, but I know you'll have lots of inauguration stuff all day long today and, of course, tonight on the TV, Monday night, or Tuesday night, rather, and every weeknight at 6:30 on Channel 11. Have a great inauguration. And next time we talk to you, Harvey, I want to do a roundup and catch up on all these great American Idol contestants this year. We don't have time today.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to love it every time there's a new season because a lot of these chicks are crazy, and they all have backstories and bikini photos and better. So we'll definitely catch up on that next time. Thanks for coming on, Harvey.
Hey, guys, just real quick. Did you see the thing with the passion star?
Yeah.
Oh, the former Miss USA that's doing porn, right?
Was that my... See, you, it's like, I could ask you about economic policy, and I'd get a blank, but
yeah,
everybody
course.
There knows.
Yeah.
Yes, it's amazing. She just showed up as Vivid, and she said, you know, the two things I that I like to do are act and sex.
Wow.
And they
perfect.
They put her in a movie.
I had a dream like that. It actually happened. All right, Harvey. Thank you, man.
Bye, okay, Harvey.
Talk to
Bye.
You soon. Bye.
That's right. It is time for the original Rodney on the Rock yep. show, and I'm ready to rock.
Yeah. All right.
That's what you're famous for. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock Tuesday, Inauguration Day 2009. President Obama has not even been sworn in yet, and we already have to have a black guy in the studio. What's going on? What happened here?
Apparently, the law is now that Anel can come in anytime he wants, and we have to say okay.
I have carte blanche. I can now walk the streets of America safe. I no longer have to worry about racial profiling. I all of a sudden no longer have holds on my deposits at the bank. Don't get fought around liquor stores. Nobody asking to touch my hair. It is a beautiful day in America.
All that happened.
All that happened overnight.
Anel is a friend of the show, personally and professionally. And I remember when we had you on, Anel, you are a token black listener number one on the Kevin and Bean Show. We had you on around, I guess it was around Election Day, and you were genuinely emotional that day on the phone. It was a very, very big deal to you that this man was elected, and I assume today is a continuation of that feeling.
There are about 4 hours left. Nobody picks him off. We're in. I'm just being real here, man. I don't want to get too excited. It's like Kevin with the Cardinals. They haven't won the Super Bowl just yet, my friend. You know what I mean? So until he stands on that speech, puts his hand on that Bible.
I'm guessing that they have a lot of that kind of security in mind.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and they did for Kennedy also.
I'm guessing.
And I think they learned a little from that, though, maybe.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah. They need to put him in a bubble.
Now, Anel and I text back and forth quite a bit. He's in my Faye Five. And Anel was seriously considering flying to D.C. You had the hookup out there if you could have made it, right, Anel?
Yes. I have family, actually, in the area.
And
hello, Kendra, by the way. And, it would have been awesome if I could have gone out there. I don't know what happened. I've been broke all of 2008. I'm in real estate. And all of a sudden.
Now it's going to change, though, right?
I have not had a day off in 3 weeks. Oh, I'm bawling out of control, but I can't get out of town.
So you can't go.
Can't go. Got to watch it on TV.
Oh. And you had a place to stay and everything. And this is kind of like the Muslims going to Mecca once a year. I mean, I've seen black folks from all over the world are flying into D.C. because they want to be there in person so that they can say for the rest of their life, yeah, I was there.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing, though. I thought about it. I was talking to my wife. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, man. This is coming from a black man. 3 million black people, just seems miserable. I mean, you know, I've been to fights with 1/10 of those people. You know, I mean, concerts with fights break out. You know, I guarantee there isn't a dry Kool-Aid tap in the house. I really cannot imagine myself being surrounded by 3 million black people. I'd have to wear pants inside out so I don't get pickpocketed.
Wow.
You know,
I guarantee you're going to come at them like that.
Nobody can catch a cab in D.C. today. There are cab drivers just driving in circles looking for a white guy to pick up.
Yeah. Please, Jesus. Ugly.
Anybody but them.
So, now, how long till, of course, there's a little bit of a honeymoon period. It seems to get shorter with every president that's inaugurated. But how long till people start to turn on Barack Obama as you're not working fast enough?
I get about 4 Eastern.
For Eastern, so today.
Yeah, today. Because you couldn't pay me to take this job, man.
No.
I mean,
agree.
Seriously, this is like dating a chick that's already pregnant. You know what I mean? Like, this is just ruined from the get. You know what I mean? I mean, I wish the brother the best. I really does hope he, you know, gets 8 years in office. But
he does hope that?
I does hope that, yes.
Hello, Dad.
You don't mind me pointing that out?
Man, I've been smoking for about 3 weeks straight here.
Okay. Working and smoking for 3 weeks straight. I like it.
But no, I just, I mean, because, you know, here's the thing. The tension is palpable. unbelievable. I mean, you could cut, you know, cut the tension in my community with a knife. Everybody's excited. Is this going to be the transition? This going to be the day that we reclaim our glory as the kings of the planet, blah, blah, blah. Here's the bottom line, guys. The U.S. government is so effed up that Jesus could come back and decide to become, you know, head of Congress, and he couldn't fix this problem.
It does take a while to move the government anywhere to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a bad deal. And I mean, you know, I'm happy the brother is president. I really am. I feel the worst for George Bush, actually, because, I mean, think about it. You were such a bad president. You were such an inept president. They gave a brother a shot. You know what I'm saying?
We got to really screw things up to let a black guy get in.
Yeah, I mean, you got to really stink up the room, man, and go on ahead and let a brother in the White House. I mean, seriously.
He did pretty much seal things for the Democrats, though. I mean, he really did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People bailed on the Republican Party because of him.
Oh, yeah, without question. And you feel bad for just, like, rednecks all over. Because, I mean, you're like, you know, any guy comes in for a job interview with a Texas accent, it's like, next.
Yeah. Now, Super Whore, producer Alex tells us that you have brought transitional gifts in today. And yes. Now, what's this all about?
Yes, well,
what's a transitional gift?
You know, I was sitting around the other night and I was thinking, you know, trying to be, you know, empathetic. And I realized it can't be easy to lose your grip on, you know, the world in one night. You know what I mean? That's got to be rough to go from, you know,
we're
having
very
it
despondent.
All. Yes, to having nothing. So what I prepared some transitional gift packs for the crew here. I'll go ahead and hand these out.
All right.
Kevin, these are yours over here. And what we have here is, of course, a favorite of the Kevin and Bean Show. We have a bag of hot Cheetos.
Bag of hot Cheetos.
Oh,
yeah. You know,
so
hot
much.
Cheetos make everything better. And these are actually the old school. These are Chester's fries. These are even hotter than hot Cheetos. These are what they serve in prison. I got onto these back in my county bid back in 99.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, these are good stuff.
Chester's
these cost
fries.
$4 in jail, by the way, believe it or not.
$4?
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, this is a crazy state.
Wow.
And I've also bought you, and this is the pinnacle of the entire black universe. If you don't have this in your home as a black man,
okay,
then you're just not a black man.
Okay.
This is cherry Kool-Aid. Okay. Now, this is not Live Aid. This is not Flavor Aid. This is the actual Kool-Aid.
Where we have to add sugar?
Made by Kraft. Please add sugar, Lisa.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I forgot you guys are white. Do not drink these directly out of the packet. They taste like arsenic.
Okay.
You have to put sugar in here.
Right. I remember when I was a kid.
Lisa grew up in Inglewood, so she knows what's going on.
Kool-Aid.
Kevin, I don't know if you ever saw one of these in the state of Arizona in your life, unless you were like in East Phoenix somewhere, maybe.
I did not.
Cherry Kool-Aid. You
know, cherry Kool-Aid.
This is awesome.
Let me tell you something, man. Cherry Kool-Aid is like the nectar of the gods.
It
man.
Is.
This is like manna from heaven right here, man. I can remember as a small child, my father putting this little 13-ounce packet in a pitcher and putting no less than 4 pounds of sugar behind
sure.
it.
Yeah, of course.
And to this day, it's the reason why I can't drink cold beverages, because I have more cavities than anybody you've ever met in your life. But this right here, it's good stuff, man. And I have
nightmares based on that that Kool-Aid guy busting through the wall.
Yeah,
really.
Doesn't that just seem annoying?
Did a number on me.
As a kid, it was cool, but as a homeowner, I don't think I appreciate that. So the Kool-Aid will definitely make things feel better as you're watching the unstoppable press conference.
And it'll cool off my mouth from my Chester
fries. That's what she said.
Let me ask you a question about this whole topic.
Yes,
because
sir.
Had Bean and I said these things,
mm-hmm.
We would be strung up and fired and killed.
It would be the Stryker and McCabe show, yes.
And
why is it got to be strung up, Kelly? Why do you have to use that chair? That seems rather insensitive.
Interesting choice.
Would you prefer nailed to a cross?
But I mean,
yeah. Interesting.
Yes,
but I'm saying, since you say it's fine,
right.
And is it possible now that that's all going to get better?
Oh, no. No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
Now, see, here's the thing,
that's
man.
A bummer.
You know, understand. You know the corporate world works, man. CYA. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't work for the company, so I can pretty much say whatever I want.
That's
you
correct.
Know what I mean? Now, you guys, as long as you're collecting them paychecks, you're going to have to render under MASA.
No, I know that. I get that. I'm saying, do you think this is going to repair a certain amount of race relations?
Because
I would hope so.
I would think we could lighten up a little bit now. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, it's been a while. You know, nobody's been assassinated in the last 20 years. You know what I mean? I mean, everything is, it's all good. You know what I mean? Nobody's getting shot at. Nobody's getting, you know, fire hoses and dogs. I mean, let me just go ahead and say this. This is a public service announcement for the black people of America. Black people, lighten up. It's not that serious. Man, it is war in Darfur. You think you got a hard try being a Palestinian today?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there are bigger fish to fry. We have a black man in office. He got a fleet full of Cadillacs.
He did. That's true.
Which is just awesome.
All new Cadillacs.
Yes.
No spinners. We were hoping for spinners.
Man,
but
I'm telling you, I was hoping for some 22s and Escalades.
Mike was describing the beast to us, which is that what they call the new car that that he's rolling around
That's
in.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Although that could probably be perceived as racist also.
It could take... The car could take an RPG, he said.
Oh, yeah. My.
A wow. direct RPG hit. The
Are
car's
you serious?
Fine.
Now, yeah. wasn't Bush's fleet like the Eagle or something like that? Like,
I don't
you
know
see,
what his
It's
was.
Like you have the Eagle for the white man, but the brother gets the Beast.
The Beast. I don't know. I think when it comes to security, you want the Beast, though, don't you?
You know, I just call him the Grape Ape.
I would... Yeah, we would never say that, though, because then it could be misconstrued.
But to answer your question, man, like, I was really disappointed at the reaction that was suffered by some certain radio personalities towards the end of last year over what I thought was an absolutely harmless and, in all honesty, hilarious bit.
Yeah.
That I think if it had been played on certain other more ethnically leaning radio stations, probably would not have had the same kind of reaction.
But you have a good sense of humor about things.
I mean,
not everyone does.
You have to, man. Look at this world we live in, man. I mean, seriously, like, even as a black man, yeah, I've had my ups and my downs, man. But this is, you know, I mean, this is a pretty sweet deal I got, man. I mean, I could have been born in one of these ass backwards villages where I got to dig diamonds out of the ground.
You know? That's true.
So, you know,
or Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah,
that's true.
Exactly. But like, you know, black people, man, like, it's like, look, man, lighten up. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm not one of these, you know, Uncle Tom, Bryant Gumbel, you know, type. I'm leaving here. I'm going to the barbershop, and I'm going to hang out all day long. I'm not going to do anything. And by the way, I have dreadlocks. I haven't had a haircut in 15 years. So
yeah, you need one.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not going to do anything except sit around and maybe smoke a little weed. And I'm going to talk about, you know, how great of a day it is. And, you know, this is coming from a true to the roots black man. You know, I'm saying black people, man, lighten up. Stop crying, acting like little girls every time something go wrong. You know what I mean? Like, every time a white person says something about you, it's not an entire attack on your culture, man. Sometimes you just have one person who's an ass. You know what I mean? And it's not fair for us as black people to always overreact and start acting as if, you know, it's an attack on us as an entire culture.
Can I schedule a meeting between you and our bosses?
I wish you would. I mean, you know, okay. I'm serious because, like, think about
Me
this.
Too.
If you call a black guy an asshole. Okay.
Yeah, of course, it's racist.
Oh, you're racist,
of
right? Okay, but
it can't be possible that he's just an asshole.
He might just be an asshole. Yeah. I have a brother, for example. You could not spend 5 minutes in a room with him without calling him an asshole.
Really?
He's just an asshole. And that's cool. He's my brother, and I love him. But, you know, there's a certain percentage of the planet that are assholes, and he's part of that percentage.
Yeah.
But if you were to say that to him as a white man, and especially if you said it, like, in a radio format on air,
right,
and he was to react adversely, hatch is coming down, man. That's just not fair. You know what I mean? I believe as white people should be able to call black people assholes, and black people should be able to call white people assholes. And that's my platform, Rivers 012.
All right.
I like the 012 part.
Did you say Rivers 012?
Yeah, you know, hey, man.
You might want to rethink that.
Have you ever been stoned for 180 hours before?
No. We're out of time, no.
We're out of time, but we very much appreciate the pep talk. We appreciate the gifts, and congratulations on our new president for
thank you very much.
Your community.
Yes, well, we try.
Thank you, Lisa. It is 6:54 now, and time for the Ralph Showbiz Bee. What's going on, Ralph?
Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five a blind dude.
He did.
Yes, he did.
On American Idol, that is.
I just had that memory. Just went through my head.
That was pretty strong.
Yeah. Raised his hand up, waiting for the high-five from a blind guy.
That happened, yeah.
It's remarkable. Just thought of that, because tonight, of course, American Idol returns to television.
You are right about that.
More auditions. Can't wait.
2 hours?
Love me some American
Idol. I'm guessing.
I'm excited.
I think it's still, isn't it?
Maybe just an hour. New Fringe tonight, too.
Oh,
for you Fringe
that
fans.
I'm excited about.
So that's coming back as well. So good
Love
stuff.
Fringe.
Speaking of new television, did you check out that United States of Terror, that new show on Showtime, I guess?
I recorded it. It looks good. Have you seen? Oh, no.
I didn't not good. Love it, Ralph. How about you?
No bueno.
Not good? No bueno?
Me no likey.
So far, I was not encouraged by the first half hour, that's
I
for sure.
I wasn't either. I
love, she's a good actress. Yeah, Toni Collette's a good actress.
Yeah. Spielberg's the producer. It seemed like a clever concept, but didn't care for it. Let's talk about shows we do love. You know Veronica Mars?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Dave the King of Mexico. Bean. Teenage Girls Everywhere. Loved this show.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, get ready for Veronica Mars, the movie.
Yeah.
Excellent.
The motion picture. The creator of that show, a guy named Rob Thomas, is currently developing a TV show for ABC called Cupid. Not to be confused with the Jeremy Piven failed TV series called Cupid. And ABC has cut back their original episode order of that series, almost in half. So Rob says, although he's disappointed that he's only going to do half as many episodes as he originally thought for this new show, it does free him up to work on another project that he's been dying to do, and that is Veronica Mars the movie. I know that Kristen wants to do it, he said. I want to do it. Joel Silver, the original producer of that show, wants to do it. And now I suddenly find myself with enough time to write that script. So for me, that's the next project.
Awesome. Very clever show.
So Veronica Mars fans everywhere, rejoice. She'll be returning to battle gum disease or whatever she did. I never really saw an episode of that
show.
She was
a dentist.
Yeah. I thought she was a dentist.
That's
right?
What she does. Yeah.
She's a detective.
Oh.
Brittany's, but she detected gum disease. That's what she did.
She's a dental detective.
Someone write that down. Call CBS, the dental detective. I like it. CSI, mouth. Lisa Mays.
Come on.
Britney Spears, no stranger to controversy, has got herself back in trouble again.
Oh, good.
It's her new single, If You Seek Amy.
Yeah. Seek
if
is
you seek Amy.
Right.
Yeah.
If you seek Amy.
So clever.
She's singing about a girl named Amy, and everyone's trying to find Amy if you seek Amy. See?
Right.
Apparently, some people think that that could be misconstrued into thinking something else.
What?
Yes.
People will misconstrue anything.
Parents are complaining about the song. All the boys and all the girls are begging to if you seek Amy is one of the lyrics. So apparently, Britney's record label has stepped in and has changed the title of the song to If You See Amy.
What?
They haven't changed the song at all. They've changed the title.
The title of the song.
Yes. Now it's If You See Amy. They've taken the K off of it. And now it's all better.
Okay.
See how they do.
Well, that's great.
What? And, geez, I hate to do this after our boy ML just left, but...
why has he got to be your boy?
I got to tell the truth. I can tell the story.
He's in the next room. What do you need?
Is he still here?
You want him to come back in?
Yeah.
Hey, ML, come in here, dude. Hang on. He'll be hearing about it.
Doesn't sound like it's going to be good news.
Awesome.
2 seconds.
Slap on your headphones, man. Got some bad news. I'm feeling good today. I mean, it was Martin Luther King Day yesterday. We got a black president. You know, you brought us gifts and everything. I'm starting to feel good about the races.
Then I
read this story. Apparently, in Greensboro, South Carolina, a man was shot twice inside a movie theater while viewing the opening weekend of Notorious on Friday night.
Oh! Nut.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bean, can I hear that performance again, please?
No, you can't. By the way, Ralph, I also heard there was some sort of Notorious movie after party in New York where a bunch of people got stabbed.
Yeah, I was going to tell that story, too. Apparently, there was an after party after the premiere weekend, and a bunch of people were stabbed at the event.
Is anybody else not shocked that a movie about a guy who was shot in the streets of Los Angeles ended in violence?
No, but look, people aren't driving to Paul Blart on Segways, you know? You don't have to replicate everything that happens in a movie.
They should be.
That just makes me feel sad.
And now do you see why 3 million black people in one place seems miserable to me?
However, in all fairness, a white security guard stabbed a guy at My Bloody Valentine 3D over the weekend as well. So,
oh, good.
All right.
Was his last name Blart?
Paul Blart, movie cop.
Movie cop.
Apparently, a 16-year-old boy refused to leave the theater. He said he wanted to wait inside until his ride showed up. A fight between the guy and the security guard started, and the security guard stabbed the dude in the stomach.
All right, so we're hanging.
That's a guy who takes his job very seriously.
No kidding.
The movie security guard who has to stab a kid.
By the way, I've got great news, Kevin. Your dental detective show is off the ground. The listeners are working on it. Apparently, it's going to be called The Dentalist, and it's going to be coming to CBS next month.
Nice.
The Dentalist. The
Dentalist.
Waiting.
I need to be his first case because I'm missing like 5 teeth. I'm not kidding.
It's all that Kool-Aid, right? You said it's all that sugar, right? Oh, man. He just pulled a tooth out of his mouth.
What
came
happened?
Right out.
You know, you're not believing this is funny. This is actually a hockey injury, and I'm not kidding.
Come on. Just say that to fit in with the white people.
No, look.
Put your teeth back in.
I played for the Pasadena Maple Leafs as a child, and this is why you should never put a black dude on the ice with a bunch of white guys with sticks, because I don't know if this was an accident or not.
Yeah.
But it did happen in hockey.
Well, why don't you go like Flava Flav and get some gold caps or something to fill in some of those holes in your mouth?
Those things make your breath smell awful. And between the weed smoke and the liquor, I don't need any more help in that.
Yeah.
Department.
All right. All right.
Dude just pulled his tooth out.
He
right
sure did.
He pulled his tooth right out.
My grandpa used to do that.
Freaked me right the hell out.
It's kind of freaky.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Astronaut Buzz Aldrin is 79 years old today. For fun, go up to Buzz sometime and ask him if the moon landing really happened.
Oh, he loves
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he likes it when you cast doubt upon the actual man landing on the moon.
Buzz?
He's thrilled.
He did punch a guy in the face who said that. So.
Yeah. David Lynch, the honked-up director, he is 63 years old today. Kiss guitarist Paul Stanley turns 57. Bill Maher, comedian talk show host, is 53. Rainn Wilson from The Office turns 43. And Linkin Park drummer Rob Borden turns 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Last shot for the Eagles. 9 seconds left. They throw underneath. Try to set up the laterals. This one is to DeSean Jackson. It started in his hands. Game clock expires. Darnell Dockett. We'll start the celebration.
It's Kevin Amici on KROQ 106.7 KROQ. That's the end of the Cardinals-Eagles game yesterday. I'm sitting at home going, on the one hand, I want Kevin to win the big money in Vegas if the Cardinals can win the Super Bowl. On the other hand, I don't want Ralph to be miserable because he's loved the Eagles since he was born. So who do I root for? It was a very, very tough game.
I thought about this too, but Ralph has always been very happy with the success of his team. And while he's disappointed, like, he'll go, well, we weren't even supposed to be in the playoffs, so we did really well.
This postseason especially definitely was a gift. Yeah, so I was happy. I just got a couple extra weeks of Eagles football, quite frankly.
Hey, but, Ralph, when the Eagles do die, are you going to cry? Are you going to cry, cry, baby?
No,
cry.
Not so much.
Cry for me. Cry.
I hate Scott Farkas.
That's annoying. Paul, welcome to the... Welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much.
Here's
for having
our
me.
Arizona Cardinals fan, a real fan, Kevin.
How dare you?
Yeah.
I've been a fan
actually
all owns the way
some
since
Cardinals gear. Apparently, unlike you,
the only sports stuff I have is hockey, Kings. Other than that, I don't. Except for the jersey Ralph gave me, which I treasure.
Yeah, I've never even taken it out of the package. Hey, Paul, tell us your Cardinals credentials. What's your backstory, dude?
Born and raised in Arizona, and I was playing Pop Warner at the time back in 87, 88. When we got the team, and my dad takes me to an Arizona Cardinals game, and I just fell in love. Saw the way football should be played with a pro team, not on TV.
Right.
And just started going to the games.
You're from Arizona. You're from the Phoenix area.
Yes.
That's great.
What about all those years where they weren't playing football like football should be played?
when they were playing like a Pop Warner team.
Right? I was watching the other teams and learning from them.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But, were you still a Cardinals fan even through the worst times?
Oh, I swear to God.
Wow. Good for you.
You bleed Cardinal Red.
How many fans were they drawing in the 90s when they sucked ass so bad?
Ooh, let's see. The junior colleges were bringing in more people during the championship games for high school and junior college.
I heard an interview with Vi Sikahima, who was a player who used to play for the Eagles, also played for the Cardinals later in his career. And he said when he started, which was, you know, in the bad times when the team first got to Arizona, he said that their home games would have more fans in the stands from the opposing teams than from their teams. Because so many people moved to Arizona from around the country for the weather. He said often it was like 2-1 fans for the away team.
What a bummer. And it's always more true of certain teams like Dallas and Chicago.
And
that's why I hate Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, too. A lot of Pittsburgh fans in Arizona and just...
Yeah.
Well, that's bad news for you in 2 weeks.
Or good, either way.
That's right. I'm saying, but it's going to be a bad fight.
So, Paul, could you not stop pinching yourself this season as the Cardinals? I mean, let's face it, they only had, 9-7 season, but because the Seahawks blew so bad this year, they were able to win their division. And every week they were counted out in the playoff games. Every single week they surprised people and won again. You just can't even believe this is happening.
Well, you know, as a fan, you know, I'm a bit of a homer, but they won the division so early, they just stopped trying in those later games. You know, they didn't try New England because they didn't want to get anybody hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they stopped playing hard, and as soon as playoff football came in, with Wisenhutton being a champion himself, he instilled that mentality, and they turned it on.
Yeah.
They did.
They're deep.
The Arizona Cardinals going to Super Bowl 43.
Their defense really has stepped up in the past couple weeks, especially in the playoffs.
Yes, it has.
And I mean, you saw that when they played Dallas, when they played New York in certain games. That was the same defensive team.
Yeah.
I take it you didn't go out for the game this weekend?
No, I actually had to work, unfortunately.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, you're a real fan.
Trying to figure out how to go to the Super Bowl?
Oh, went to my job. Yeah, whatever, man. Okay, I see it.
Now, what was the bet between you two?
Paul called up, I guess it was it last week you called up? Or week?
Last Monday.
Last Monday.
And he put
Still
forth
drunk.
The proposition that if the Eagles were to win this weekend, he would get an Eagles logo tattoo on his body.
Where did he
we
did you
don't
specify?
Think we picked a part. What part of the body, did we?
I said my arm or, you know, anywhere.
Someplace visible. Which would suck as a fan for another team.
It's a terrible bet.
For a long time.
And I said, what do you want in return? He said, if the Cards win, then I am banned from talking about the Philadelphia Eagles on the air for the remainder of 2009.
So right through New Year's, You can't talk about it on the air.
Until 2010, I can't talk about the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, Paul, you do the right thing.
And right here is a little swear jar in case he accidentally slips up.
Oh, you brought up. So if I do mention that team, when does it start? When can I stop? When do I have to stop saying that name?
As soon as we go into a commercial.
Okay, so if I do slip up this year and say Eagles, I will put, what, $20 every time I say it in here?
That sounds good.
And then he gets it.
And then he gets it, okay. Yeah, because there has to be some sort of punitive damage if I do slip up and mention the Philadelphia Eagles.
And, names like Jeff Feagles, that contains Eagles.
Can't use that either. I can't talk about Beagles, the breed of dog. Is that what you're saying?
Bugsy Siegel.
Can't say that.
Right. Nothing that rhymes with it?
The Regal Beagle.
Nothing with Eagle in it. Okay.
What happens if Don Henley and Glenn Frey died a helicopter accident? Is Ralph allowed to report on that in the show business?
You gotta give that to Doc on the Rock, my man.
Yeah, you gotta hand that off.
It's rough.
Can't even mention the musical Eagles. Okay.
All right. Wow.
Eagles of death metal, can't talk about them.
Can't talk about our national bird. Can't refer to that.
Nope. Through 2009.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And as long as Donovan McNabb and Andy Reid are part of the Eagles organization, I don't know. That's kind of, what do you think, Kevin?
You mean can't talk about them?
Can't talk about the players?
I would say no. I would say if you're talking about the Eagles team, that would be a breach of.
So I can't refer to any of the players either.
I would think not.
Wow. It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
It'll be very difficult for you. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to a lucrative 2009.
You're hoping that he comes in every Monday going, E-A-G, damn it, I got to pay Paul.
It's such a habit now.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on him, though.
But I'll be able to talk about when they're in the Super Bowl next year, though, so that'll be good. When I come back fresh from the Christmas holiday.
In January.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Or when the Cardinals are going
to Imagine how much I'm going to make up for that when having not talked about them all year, what I'm going to sound like next January.
Yeah, that'll
imagine
be
imagine what that's going to be like.
You'll sound like Bean talking about his team.
Awesome. I want to come in full uniform every day with a helmet and pads on. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I think we owe Paul some thanks, by the way,
for sparing us
from Eagle Talk for the next
11
months.
He has done a service for many of you, for sure.
Hey, as a guy who knows the Cardinals better than anybody in this room, Paul, how do you feel they match up against the Steelers? How are you feeling about that Super Bowl?
You know what? I have a really good feeling that we're going to do all right. We're the underdogs again. That's what we've played all season.
Yeah.
And you know what? Weather's not going to be a factor, so I don't see why the Cardinals can't pull it off.
It was a factor when the kicker for the Eagles, his ball fell off the tee just before the game on the first kickoff.
Yeah, I was like, wasn't that weird?
How where's the that ball wind fall coming off the from? Tee? It's a dome.
Yeah.
Oh, that was bad things for the Eagles in store.
Yeah. It was the first mistake of many of that game for that team. I can't talk about anymore.
I'll tell you what, though. I did have a bit of a heart attack when they started that comeback.
Of course.
But
yeah. It took the lead.
That was the best thing for Arizona for that little wake-up call. And they responded, so I think they're going to carry that momentum into the Super Bowl.
They responded well. All right. Well, the Super Bowl is not for 2 weeks. It's a week from Sunday.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, but you can't talk about the Eagles for the rest of this year.
We could talk about Duke lacrosse.
No?
No?
See you, private eye. Duke lacrosse?
I don't see that happening either, to be honest with you. Well, Paul, congratulations. You did us all a favor, and you're a good man.
Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Best of luck in the Super Bowl.
I appreciate that.
I can't talk about the Steelers, though, right?
I'll show you. Can.
Go Steelers!
Oh,
go Steelers!
Woo! Man.
Woo!
Should have thought about
speaking of Bush. I'm going to miss the little fella. He has been one of the most consistently entertaining comedians in my lifetime. Every day he's made me laugh for 8 years, and today he's gone.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people hate him, but if you look at President Bush, the public speaker, I'm going to miss him a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Because there's never going to be a president who's as bad as he is at speaking.
And I doubt it.
And losing his way in the middle of sentences. And by the way, who can relate to that more than me?
He's your guy, man. That's why you voted for him twice.
My
identified
God,
with him.
He's so good when he's in front of the public. He just... He gets all tongue-tied, and that's the best. And now Barack Obama, he's all smooth. He doesn't make mistakes.
I know.
That's not as entertaining. It might be better for the country, but it certainly is not as entertaining.
We're looking for entertainment, people.
We are. So I'm very sad to say that for President George W. Bush, today is the end of the road. And it makes me sad.
Look, here's the thing. I think the American people want somebody just express themselves as plainly as I can. I admit it, I am not one of the great linguists. I'm not sure why that's the case, but nevertheless, my words tend to be pretty much to the point. I'm not sure the right way to say it. I really, really like being the president. The job is so exciting and so profound that
And the disappointments are will be clearly, you know, a minor irritant. You know, I just, I'm sure something will pop in my head here in the midst of this press conference, all the pressure of trying to come up with an answer, but it hadn't yet. I just haven't, just put me under the spot here, and maybe I'm not quick on my feet as I should be in coming up with one. We cannot let terrorists and rogue nations hold this nation hostile or hold our allies hostile. Hard things don't happen overnight. If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator. I'm George W. Bush. I'm the decider. I'm not sure the right way to say it. Here's the thing. We ought to make the pie higher. I'm George W. Bush. I'm the decider. I'm not sure the right way to say it. I strongly disagree with that. I reject that.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century?
Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. It means you've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
We will not have an all-volunteer army. And yet this week, we will have an all-volunteer army.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on me. Shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again. I don't understand that decision. I'm George W. Bush. I'm the decider. Look, here's the thing. George W. Bush. I'm the decider. I strongly disagree with that.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
I reject that. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Yeah.
Well done.
No more making fun of the president's speeches.
Sometimes I'll start a sentence, and I don't even know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Sad, but...
Sorry, Kevin.
What are you going to do?
I know.
Bad
we
president.
Can listen to that.
Bad president, horrible speaker.
You can hear that, by the way, if you want your own personal copy. It is streaming right now at Kerrock.com. Kevin and Bean section. Yes,
California man says his teen sent 14,528 text messages in just 1 month.
A month.
It's Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous Kerrock Tuesday morning. That news story we heard last week about 14,000 something text messages in a month means nothing to our next guest, because apparently as of the time she sent this email, she had already sent out over 23,000 texts and the month wasn't even over yet. Listener Carolyn on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show right now on K-Rock. Hey, Carolyn, how are you?
Hello, I'm good.
So when you saw this story, you laughed. You mocked her.
Kind of.
14,000 in a month to me seems like a lot. To you, nothing.
No.
How do you send 23,424 texts in, and this is just the first part of January?
Yeah.
What are you up to right now? Do you know, Carolyn?
Actually texting on my phone.
Right.
How many do you think you've sent out in this month of January so far?
Well, when I checked my phone, it said that I had sent out 26,000 as of last night.
26,000.
All right. Carolyn, you know we have to ask, who are you texting and what and why? What's all this about?
Well, I text a lot of people, and it's because a lot of my family lives out of state, and my best friend lives out of state.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we kind of just talk about anything and everything.
All day long?
Yeah, pretty much.
I can.
Do you work or job?
I
go to school?
Oh, you go to school. Really? Well, that's plenty of time to text.
What kind of student are you?
Do they have to catch you texting in their class, right?
Well, actually, a lot of my teachers are okay with it.
Really?
Yeah, it's only a couple of my teachers that get kind of mad at it, but...
I'd like to check that with anyone. How old are you?
I'm 16. I'll be 17 next month.
So your high school teachers don't care if you text throughout the entire class?
Well, sometimes they'll tell me to knock it off, but other times they just kind of let me.
Oh, that's the best. I wish I had your teachers. Carolyn, what is it that you enjoy so much about texting?
I don't know. It's just because I can, like, talk to anyone at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to pick up the phone and actually talk to them with my voice.
I can understand that. I mean, I can understand the you don't have to talk on the phone thing if you don't like talking on the phone. But I also can't imagine what you talk about in 99% of those texts. What are you doing right now? I'm in class. How about you? I'm working. Okay. How about you? Still in class.
Is that how they go?
Honestly.
It is kind of how they go.
I mean, come on. I mean, now, producer Alex picked up before we talked to you, Carolyn. She said that you have already sent out more than 200 texts this morning, okay? Are any of those important or interesting? Nope.com.
No, not really. They're just like, you guys better listen to K-Rock at 7:30.
Because they're going to make fun of me. 200 messages already today. Well, at least you had something to say there, just to report to them. Otherwise, you would go, getting ready for school.
Yeah, kind of.
You know what's really weird, Carolyn, and I don't have very much to base this on, because I've only, you know, I don't know you. I've only ever talked to you for a couple minutes. But you sound like a fun, personable, regular person. It's, I mean, I don't understand why you spend so much time texting when you could be, you know, interacting with other people and enjoying contact with those.
Well, I'm kind of like a homebody. I don't really like going out, so it's
right.
Just like, I don't know. I like talking to people on my own time at home.
Right.
Well, but not talking to them, really, just texting.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I can understand that, because a lot of people probably feel that way, but I don't understand 26,000 in the first 20 days of the month. That seems like... Seems like you could take care of it in fewer texts.
You know what I think, too, is so odd? I mean, I have friends that I'll see once a month for lunch.
Right.
And then we give each other the highlights of our month.
But you don't have to do that if you text them.
We save the best stuff.
Yeah.
As opposed to everything.
All right, let me ask you this question, Kara. Do any of your friends say, hey, can you stop texting me?
No, actually, a lot of my friends text more than I do.
Oh, wow. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
I don't think that's possible. I mean, is it really? Your 26,000 in 20 days seems like a lot.
Like, what happens if you can't text? Do you get all nervous and itchy?
Sweating, throw up.
Do you have withdrawals?
Kind of, actually. I will take my dad's phone or my mom's phone.
Right.
And I'll just be like, hey, I can't text. But I'll text everyone that, and so that adds up.
Do you ever, like, if you're in a movie theater or on an airplane and you actually have to go cold turkey, it has to be so miserable for you?
Well, actually, in the movie theater, I don't stop texting.
Excellent.
Oh. I hate
No, that's
you.
Good. No, that's what you
Everyone
want.
Around you enjoys
I
that, Carolyn.
I'm silent, and I always sit in the last row.
Okay, if you're in the back row.
You
but
sit
otherwise,
in
you
the
can
back
see
row?
The light.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things
right.
are pretty bright when they turn off the lights,
mm-hmm.
yeah. We're almost out of time, but I think we need... Carolyn, would you mind striking up a friendship with our friend Dave, the King of Mexico, who's the only other person we know who texts all the time? Would you guys become text buddies, please, so we can get an idea of what kind of conversation you're having?
Oh, that's fine.
She says, P.S., I hope the King of Mexico is going crazy jealous over this record, and I dare him to beat it. He, if anybody can, it's him, and it's funny to me because it seems like the people that text the most have the least to say.
Like Dave.
Well, because they're not doing anything.
Oh,
they're just
I
texting.
Don't know. What are you doing? If you were to take that question away, he would have nothing to say.
Yeah.
All right, Carolyn.
All right.
Well,
we're going to swap. You guys are going to swap phone numbers and become text buddies. I want to follow this and find out what it is you kids are talking about, because this does seem crazy, Carolyn. And, you know, one day you're going to grow up and you're going to have a job and you're not going to be able to text.
Well,
you're going to be so sad.
I did have a job over the summer and I did text. But,
yeah.
So.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Hey, you know what would be cool, actually, is if you CC'd us or copied us on every text you send.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Um, That'd be a lot.
I would love to read some of that, because I'm guessing that is some high-quality conversation. All right, Carolyn, I'm going to put you back on hold.
Okay.
And then
let your boyfriend Dave pick up.
Don't go anywhere. 26,000 in 20 days.
That's insane.
And was texting the whole time she was on the phone with us, too, yeah, which I love.
It's pretty boring to be on the phone.
Coming up after the news at 8, by the way, we're going to talk to a KROQ listener and a Democratic superdelegate from the state of California, Ed Espinosa, who we talked to during the primary coverage. And he is at the inauguration. He apparently is in location on the Mall in Washington waiting for to see the president get sworn in. And he's going to attempt to talk to us if his cell phone works from Washington.
Okay. That seems like it would be a bad cell area.
It does. It seems like it might be tough to get through, but we're going to try to talk to him and find out what it's like from a man who's in the throng of 2 million people in our nation's capital in about 10 minutes. And then we've got from Beverly Hills 90210, Annalyn McCorn is going to join us also next hour on KROQ.
Ralph, do you wish you were there? Do you wish you were at the inauguration? Because you like travel.
Love travel, love crowds.
Love crowds.
Love both of those things.
So that would be good.
This phone call, by the way, when you get through the superdelegate, can I do a little Sustainable Dave? For you? Can I give you a little
you're going to give us a
preview of what it's going to be like?
Okay.
Right, what's it like down there? Oh, it's so crowded. There's a lot of people. I can barely move. It's really crowded. So how's it going? It's crowded. Selling a lot of things. There's a lot of pennants being sold in buttons. All right. Thanks for calling.
There you go. Don't forget,
you
it's also like
later. You just heard
it's
the
also like 20 degrees there, too, by the way. Let's factor that in.
It's cold and crowded.
Well, you're probably right, but we'll see how it goes coming up after the news. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday. What's going on?
Those of you just tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show, you missed me paying off a bet.
Yep.
With our pal Paul, the Arizona Cardinals fan. And the bet was if the NFL team from Philadelphia were to win the game this weekend, he would get a logo tattoo of that same said team. If the Cardinals beat that team, then I was no longer to speak the name of that particular team from Philadelphia.
From now till the end of the year.
Well,
thank
God. Which
is going to be really tough next September, October.
Thank God for listener Oscar. I want to thank him. I love the Brown man. I love our Brown listeners. And Oscar gives me a little heads up. Ralph, I didn't hear anything in the rules saying you couldn't say the team's name in another language. So you say in Spanish. It's Aguilas. Los Aguilas. A-G-U-I-L-A-S. Aguilas.
Technically, isn't that still the name of the team, though? I mean, technically.
It's not the word he said I couldn't say.
The name.
I think he means you can't refer to the NFL franchise from Philadelphia. That's what he's trying to cut back on.
I think the
that's
judges true are as well. Denying you, Ralph.
I'm going to, well, we'll have to appeal it. We'll go to a higher court because I think that's
that.
BS. I think Los Aguilas is perfectly acceptable.
We'll get him back on the phone.
So there. Let's talk about showbiz news. When you feel bad about living in America, as a lot of us have the past couple years, it's been a tough time here in America. And you know, sometimes you look at the television and you say, wow, it's really gone downhill, man. Reality television, the dumbing down of America.
Sure.
We're suffering when it comes to television. Just say to yourself when you feel that way, could be worse, I could live in Canada.
Uh-oh, why?
Canada.
Canada has just announced their newest reality show, Canada's Next Prime Minister.
What?
Alex Trebek will host as three former prime ministers of Canada field pitches from contestants before deciding who would be the best prime minister. The winner won't actually become prime minister, but he will be named best choice by three former prime ministers. And that's on TV, people.
Wow.
That seems pointless.
That's on television.
That would be like the former presidents of the United States doing that and picking somebody that doesn't
actually... Hey, you'd be a pretty good president. Good luck with that. I hope you grow up to be president.
Wow, what a terrible idea.
That's going to be on television in Canada, so please enjoy. Good for Alex Trebek, though. He's got another gig. Don't have to ask those stupid questions anymore. Tom Cruise hates Hitler.
Really?
All right. Just want to give you that
little
story.
It's a great story. Thank you.
Apparently, while promoting his new movie, Valkyrie, Tom said that he grew up really wanting to kill Hitler.
Well, that sets him apart from everyone else.
Was it Hitler dead?
Yeah.
Many, many years before Tom Cruise was born?
Tom had a bit of a timing issue, I think, regarding that dream of his as a youth.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
I always wanted to kill Hitler. I hated him, he said.
Come on.
All right. Okay.
He's not even trying now.
Really?
Did he want to stop Pearl Harbor?
He just sat there in his bedroom, just seething. Oh, I want to kill Hitler so bad.
If he hadn't been killed already.
Oh, why? Why didn't someone stand up to him?
So now we know. He really hated Hitler.
Wow.
And I'll be honest, I have little or no idea what that means.
God, Tom's willing to take a stand on the controversial issues.
He is. That's true.
And, you know, from time to time, I like to give people a heads up if they want to get into the world of show business, auditions, and that sort of thing.
Sure.
Today, I just got this announcement. Maybe Lisa wants to head down and audition for this.
What is it?
They are looking to cast a new Ariel in the Broadway production of Little Mermaid.
Wow.
Yes, Lisa.
If only I could sing.
Oh, I would pay you $100 to go audition if I could videotape it.
It could be a rapping.
Sure,
rapping Ariel.
You say, I picture her a different way. Let me give you my interpretation.
I made a choice here. Let me see what you folks think.
I don't know when. I don't know how.
Okay, Mr. Lee.
Cleo's auditioning now.
Something's starting right now.
What's happening?
Watching, you'll see. I'm going to be auditioning. Yeah. Someday I'll be.
Okay, you get.
Oh my God. World.
You go someplace else.
Sorry, if Ariel had cans like yours, she'd sink and never be able to
she
come back to
the
surface.
She almost killed the mic with those cans, if you noticed. Yeah.
If you're a young girl and you want to play Ariel on Broadway, sign-ins begin Monday, January the 26th at 9 a.m. And you can audition at Screenland Studios in beautiful North Hollywood, California at 10501 Burbank Boulevard. That is Monday, January the 26th, so you've got a whole week to prepare your audition song.
Well, Cleo doesn't need a week.
No, she
She's
does
ready
not.
Right now.
How old are you supposed to be, Ralph?
You are supposed to be late teens, early 20s they're looking for. Because Ariel, the mermaid girl, is in her late teens, so I guess they're looking for someone who can play a teenager. Play a half-woman, half-fish teenager.
Yeah, sure. Gotta be the right age to play that.
I think Miss Cleo's got the half-fish part down, too. You know what I'm saying?
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Nope. I'm just saying.
I don't know what you're saying at all.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Giddy up.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Linkin Park drummer Rob Borden is 30 years old today. Skeet Ulrich, talented actor, is 39. Rainn Wilson, who plays Dwight Schrute over there on The Office, is 43. Bill Maher, comedian and talk show host, is 53. Paul Stanley from Kiss. You want the best? You got the best. Best 57-year-old band there is out there today. He is 57. David Lynch is 63. And Bean's best buddy, astronaut Buzz Aldrin, is 79 years old today.
Remember that deadly dull conversation we had with him?
Wow.
Wanted to take my life.
Remember the time Bean was on a plane with him and didn't have the balls to talk to him?
I did sit next to him. I didn't want to bother the man. He's a hero. He's a legend. I didn't want to bug him.
Bug us.
Instead, we had to talk to him on the air on our show. He had to bug a city.
Yeah.
Couldn't bug Buzz Aldrin, but could bug all of Los Angeles.
Can't you cut the guy some slack for walking on the freaking moon?
Deadly dull conversation.
He walked on the moon. He can be as boring as he wants.
No, but how?
You notice he didn't have a radio show on the moon. There's a reason for that, because he's boring as F.
How can you make something that exciting so boring? I mean, that really takes some special effort.
I was fascinated and hung on every word, and I believe we should have him on again.
Tom Cruise said he grew up wanting to kill Buzz Aldrin his whole life.
That's not true.
I don't blame him.
That's not true.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Something going on in Washington? There's like a bunch of TV cameras there.
I heard something over the weekend.
Oh, really?
I think.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. By the way, this is the hour we're going to give you a chance to qualify for the standby boarding list to see U2 in London. We'll give you all the details and play their brand new song that we world premiered over the weekend. Brand new U2 later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, here it is. I just looked it up, Kevin. Apparently the presidential inauguration is happening in less than an hour.
Oh, why didn't they say anything about that?
Apparently it hasn't been getting very much coverage, but that's what's been going on. We actually have a friend who is in the crowd in D.C. We've talked to him on the show before. He is a Democratic superdelegate from the state of California. Ed Espinosa joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Ed, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back again. It's freaking cold out here right now.
That's what I understand.
What a surprise.
I don't know what the plan is, why they insist on keeping the swearing in every 4 years in Washington, D.C. to January, but it's always like 20. Why don't they just say, look, for the comfort of the world, let's do it in July.
We're just saying that. I'm here with a couple of friends of mine, and we were wondering why they don't just push this thing back to March or June.
They could do it like the Super Bowl, though, which is always in late January, early February, and just do it at cities where there's sun for the most
part. That's a great idea.
Do it
fly down to Miami for the swearing in.
Do it in Miami. Do it in San Diego, that kind of city.
Now, Ed, tell folks again how you ended up being an invited guest to the inauguration this year.
Well, I represent California on the Democratic National Committee. I'm one of the youngest that we have in the state, and I'm in my 30s here. And I've been involved as a state party in the Democratic campaign, Democratic politics for about 10 or 12 years now. Mm-hmm. And just kind of worked my way up through the ranks, and that's what I do. So when events like this come up, usually as a thank you, so those of us who have been involved for a really long time, you know, we get invited, but our seats are not any better than anybody else's, and nor should they be.
So you're like, what, 10, 15 feet away from where he's going to be sworn in?
Well, ideally I would be, but I actually did not get into the event. I'm outside the Capitol right now. They have shut it down. I have a ticket to be on the lawn. And
you need a ticket for the lawn?
The lawn. And I've been in line for 3 hours. I'm wearing jeans with two pairs of thermals underneath, and I'm not getting in.
Oh, no.
Now don't you wish that you'd been stumping for McCain instead, if this is the way you're going to be treated?
Or at least have gone into radio and sit in a warm studio in L.A. One of those two things would either be better right now.
So you got invited because you're a part of the Democratic Party, but they won't let you in because they closed it down because there's too many people?
They've shut down the mall. They've shut down the access points around the Capitol. It's just overflowing, and it's unbelievable to see. There's so much energy, and there's so much excitement. Everywhere you go, there are huge lines. There was a line out the door at the Capitol Hill Starbucks just because of all the volume of people that are here.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
That seems bad to be in line for like 2 hours for a grand latte or whatever they call them. That just...
Right.
Doesn't seem good, and you need it more than most because you're stuck not watching anything. You know, we can
exactly.
See it on TV. We have a better view than you.
Yes, you absolutely do. I need a little something extra in that latte.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, Ed, we were talking about this earlier today, how none of us in this room would want to be there. I mean, you could pay me to be there, and I wouldn't want to. What is it about an event like this that makes they're estimating 2 million people want to show up? Hassles to get down there, freezing cold. Most of them are so far away they can't really see what's going on. What's the draw?
I got to tell you, it's history. You're watching history unfold, and it's not just this inauguration, but this is the second one that I've been to. And it's something about seeing democracy unfold where you have your government, a transition of power, a peaceful transition of power that the people voted for. And
is that helicopter? Do they have weapons trained on you?
Well, no, they got a spotlight and it's black. Is that bad? I don't know.
I just saw former President Bush, mm-hmm. George W.'s father, who can barely walk now. He was walking in like a penguin.
Yeah, and I hear Cheney's in a wheelchair today.
Cheney's
in a wheelchair, right.
President
Carter and Rosalind are showing up, yeah. So basically it's just that people want to be able to say, yeah, I was there. Barack Obama, when he was sworn in, oh, yeah, I was there. It's basically just to feel like you have a small participation in the history of the United States.
You know, yes, and especially this year because there's been so much change in the world and so much change that we've needed to see in this country. I was out on the mall on Sunday when they had that huge concert with all those with Bono and Garth Brooks mm-hmm. and all the other artists that were out there. I had to tell you, the energy that was out there, you could just feel it. It was so much fun. And to see an incoming president not only sit there and tap his foot to the American Pie, but knew the words to the song American Pie is pretty cool to see. I don't know that we've ever had anything remotely like that. Here comes that helicopter again.
Sure enough, yeah.
Well, he's a young dude. Let me ask you this, Ed. We were talking about this earlier today. How much of a honeymoon period do you expect for President Obama? Because everybody's all pumped up now, but he hasn't served 1 minute as president. Now the reality of the job hits us. When are we going to start going, yeah, what have you done for us lately?
Yeah, well, you know, all presidents always have that first 100-day marker, and there was a poll I saw the other day that said that Americans are willing to give him 2 years. That's a poll that we see now. I don't know that that will hold up. I think people are going to want to see results early. And, you know, we don't think it's going to be easy. It's going to be a long road in front of us. So who knows how long that honeymoon period will be, but hopefully he seems to have put together a very good, very capable team that can really start start fixing things and putting this country right on the right track again very quickly.
We're on the phone with California Democratic Superdelegate Ed Espinoza, who we had on during the election, and he has been barred entry into the inaugural event. Ed, can you see anything? I mean, is there a TV screen, or are you completely blind to this?
You know what I can see? I can see tons of street merchants with every piece of Barack Obama merchandise you can think of.
Okay, but
the man is a one-man stimulus package.
He is, but what I'm saying is during the inauguration, you're going to be able to see what?
At this point, I will see everything that everyone in L.A. will see via my TV just like theirs, because that's what I've got left at this point.
Oh, you have a TV with you?
What's that?
You have a TV with you?
No, my home out here is about 4 blocks away from the
Capitol. Oh, you're going home.
Oh, you're going to go home and watch it.
It's warm, and I've got some food and some scotch, and I think
Don't you have that in California, though?
You are a quitter.
What? You're a quitter. They're not letting you in. You had something to do with it. You need to barge the gates.
It's too cold.
All right, Ed, before you go, two more quick questions for you. Number one is, are you invited to any of the inaugural balls tonight that they're going to then bar you from entry at the door?
There was a California ball on Sunday night that we did go to. We had a blast. And then tonight there's the Western ball for all the Western states, and that's going to be at the convention center downtown. That's Black Tie. At this point, we'll end up getting there 3 hours early. Who knows if we'll actually get in? I've heard they've oversold that.
Oh, that'd be awesome if you got turned away at every step.
It'd be great. And last question for you, Ed. When do you start working on Barack Obama's reelection? When does that begin?
Obama for America, OFA 2.0, has already been put together. And when do I go back to that? Probably, hopefully not very soon. I need a break.
Yeah.
And I need to thaw out. But for anybody else who wants information about the inauguration today, they can go to my website, which is Democratic Convention Watch, abbreviated DemConWatchBlog.com. And we've got live streaming updates today. I guess my updates are...
And what are your updates going to say? Right? What are your updates going to say exactly? Hey, I sure wish I could see it.
This is what I saw on TV today.
Give us the
funny thing is, I saw Dan Rather a couple minutes ago. He also could not get into the Capitol. So how's that for the times they are changing?
They were saying no to Dan Rather?
He should have thought of that before he effed over CBS, I guess.
All right, Ed, what was your website again? I'm sorry.
DemCon.
Come on. DemConWatchBlog.com. Terrible name. I'm sure it's a fine website. Ed Espinoza has been our guest, Democratic Superdelegate, live from our nation's capital. Ed, thanks for coming on today. Have a good time out there.
Thanks, guys.
We are plugged in, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We talked to a guy who couldn't get in. We are good. We just talked to a dude that can't get into the inauguration. That's how we roll.
That's right. That's how connected we are, exactly. All the way to D.C. and then turned away. It's 8:27 on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we want to send you to London to see U2 in concert. We'll tell you all about it and play their brand new song that we just world premiered over the weekend in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about 90210, Tuesday nights at 8 on the CW? How about the beautiful Annalyn McCord joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time right now? Hey, Annalyn, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Happy Inauguration Day. Do you care? Are you excited?
No, I don't care at all. Yeah, I'm super excited. This is such this is history in the making right here. It's amazing to be a part of it.
Is your show going to be on tonight?
The show will be on tonight.
Oh, wow.
It was on during voting day, too, and it kind of sucked because it, like, cut in and out. So hopefully they'll be doing an encore tomorrow night.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So they have like, news hosts or whatever come in and tell people what's going on? Yeah, that sucks.
I don't think the CW isn't known for their tremendous news coverage. I don't think. I guess that's why they're putting you on, is because they don't have full wall to wall coverage like all the other channels will.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to watch the news, you're probably going to watch, you know,
sure,
right,
something else, right?
<You know>?
So let's talk about this 90210 for a minute. We have some friends, including that work here on the show, that are just crazy about this. And I know that it was a little bit of a gamble when it first came back. People were like, why are you remaking a show from the 90s? Like, what's the point of that? Of course, it's not really a remake as much as it is kind of an extension. But did you have some trepidation about getting involved in it because you thought it might end up being kind of cheesy?
Yeah, I definitely had reservations. I actually
they made three offers, which the third one was the one I ended up taking. I wasn't even negotiating. I really just didn't think that it was something that I wanted to do initially. But as obviously as we've come to find out, it's been a really great opportunity. But it's big shoes to fill. That and part of the thing too that, you know, for me and my, you know, the way I was thinking of it is 90210 was, you know, a huge phenomenon in the 90s, but it was partly a huge phenomenon because there were no other teen dramas on the air. Now they're a dime a dozen, you know. So there's that aspect of it that you know, it made it, they had 90210, the former, had a monopoly. They were the teen drama to watch.
Sure.
And you know, and in a time when teens were, you know, really needing something in the entertainment industry to connect to. And then now, you know, there are a lot of those shows, but what I, you know, love about doing this spinoff is that we do have a lot of fans from the original show, and to me, those fans, that's really awesome to me, because I'm like, I was a big dork, I was a big Star Wars, Indiana Jones fan, and I know, like, whenever the new ones would come out, I'd be like, I don't know if I'm going to see it.
Yeah, I'm really tired.
If you ruin my trilogy.
I'm really tired of hearing hot girls say they're dorks.
I'm such a dork.
Now, were you excited about your character Naomi being kind of a bad character? Did you like that?
Yeah, you know, I really am. After my response on playing Eden on Nip Tuck, mm-hmm. you know, a character that I absolutely love to play, I really was excited. I really try and play strong female roles. They tend to initially in your career be, you know, as an actress, you know, who's aspiring, it tends to be the actual bad girl, and hopefully I hope it leads to more of the tough girl kind of, you know, like in a badass type of role. But what's great about is that, you know, she's a very strong character. You know, she doesn't take crap, and she has a lot of layers, and I really get to toy with that, so it's a lot of fun.
We're talking to Annalyn McCord from 90210, which is on tonight at 8 o'clock on the CW. You're one of the actresses that we've talked to, Annalyn, who seems like you've wanted to act your whole life. This is what you've known that you were going to do since you were a little kid, right?
Very true, since I was 9 years old.
Okay. Is it what you expected it would be, or is all the other stuff that goes along with being a working actor, meaning the Hollywood stuff and the paparazzi and all that, is all that tough for you to adapt to, and is it all worth it?
It's a world of difference from what you know, when I was a kid, I would go to the movies and I would watch these actors, and they were bigger than life, and they would make me laugh, and they would make me cry. That's why I wanted to be an actress, to impact people. And you know, in that aspect, I stay true to, but it was a tough going, but when I really started to work a lot this past year, I started to really kind of question why I was doing it, because this word celebrity is thrown around so much, and I honestly, to be quite honest, I don't use hate a lot, but I really hate that word, because, you know, it's become something that doesn't mean anything. It's not someone who, you know, who wants to use their art and, you know, and use their expression and connect to an audience. It's become this, let's get on a reality show and have 15 seconds of fame and just do it for no reason at all. And so I actually got involved with, and the reason I took 90210, because initially I had my reservations, but I ended up taking it specifically because I began working with an organization called The Blind Project that deals with raising awareness for sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I worked with children and the abuse victims, namely, I didn't know in what capacity, but this organization just really, you know, was something that I couldn't turn away from. I'm from Atlanta, and it's here in the United States. It's proven to be in 39 U.S. states, thought to be in all 50, and Atlanta is the number one city for sex trafficking in the United States.
No kidding.
Wow.
And, yeah,
so you looked at it as, hey, if I'm going to be an actor and there's going to be some celebrity attached to that, I'm certainly going to make good use of it, and if people are interested in hearing what I have to say, I'm going to make sure I've got something important to say.
Exactly. You know, we're so lucky to do what we do, and we have to give back. That's what I believe, anyway.
So you play Naomi on 90210. You're also going to be back on Nip Tuck, right?
Yes, tonight at 10 o'clock.
She's so evil on that show.
So
I can't
evil.
Tell you how evil she is. Oh, my God, I hate you so much. In a good way.
Do we have time, Kevin? Are we out of time? We don't have time for the clip from tonight's show.
Don't have time.
We don't have time. Oh, no. Too bad. Because there's a very juicy, very juicy menstruation plot line that's going on 90210 right now.
It's super juicy. You got to tune in.
Yeah, I don't like ever want juicy use, being used with this.
Let's try another
menstruation in the same sentence. That's probably not a good choice of words there. All right. Well, Annalyn, you sound awesome. I'm so glad we got a chance to talk to you, albeit briefly. Maybe next time you can come in and spend some time with us in the studio. We can catch up some more.
That would be awesome.
The show is called 90210. It airs tonight at 8 on the CW. Annalyn McCord has been our guest. Have a great inauguration day. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Brand new U2 on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ called Get On Your Boots. And we are talking about K-Rock's World Tour 2009 destination number one, which is U2 at the Brit Awards in London.
Ooh.
That's their Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
The equivalent of their Grammys. So we're going to give you a chance to win the new CD and qualify for that coming up very soon on K-Rock.
Great.
Steve Coulter from Seal Beach is our first winner, and we'll have another opportunity for you in just a few minutes. I like that new U2 song, by the way.
Yeah, it's good.
Not that anyone cares what I think, but I like it. I approve. All right, it's 8:42, Inauguration Day 2009, a huge day in Washington, D.C. Of course, we talked to a K-Rock listener who was there, who was asked to leave. He basically could not get close enough to actually see what's going on. Now we've got someone on the phone who is close enough to see what's going on. He's got a great seat, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready to say hello to Vice President Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney. Hey, Dick.
Mr. Cheney, can you hear us? It's Kevin Bean from K-Rock in Los Angeles, sir.
So?
Well, you're only going to be vice president for 18 more minutes. How do you feel?
I feel sad.
Yeah? Sad? A little sad to leave America. The office behind?
Sad for America.
Sad for America?
Because the best damn president-vice president duo in the history of the nation is leaving office.
All right, but wait a minute, because on TV right now is Barack Obama. He's walking out, and it looks like everybody is going crazy.
No,
in
everybody here is very sad. Most people are dabbing their eyes with handkerchiefs.
No, they're clapping and waving flags.
No, well, they're...
But we can see it.
They're clapping for him to go away.
Mr. Cheney, we've got the coverage on here in the studio, and it looks like at least a million people, maybe more, as far as the eye can see, jumping up and down and waving flags and excited and applauding. They couldn't be any happier.
Nope.
What do you mean, nope?
There's about eight guys here. Most of them are selling churros.
To who?
Just, they're waiting for people to show up.
Each other?
They're vending. They're just vending.
All right, it looks like President-elect Obama is now shaking hands. He's at the podium, though.
Yeah.
Looks very exciting. Everybody seems to be cheering. Look, there's a little girl chanting Obama.
Oh, go home. Oh, go home.
I don't think so.
Oh, go home.
Mr. Cheney, I didn't hear the story. Why are you in a wheelchair today for the inaugural ceremony?
Because President-elect Obama hit me in the knees with a softball bat.
No, he didn't.
An aluminum softball bat.
I don't think that's true.
Tried to cripple me.
That didn't happen.
He's a mean, mean man. And you should be afraid. I think I'm moving to Germany.
Is that right?
Or some other country.
Have you spoken with President Bush today? I would imagine that he would have a sense of relief.
I told you that Barack Obama hit me in the legs with a baseball bat.
Right, but we don't believe you.
You're just moving on.
But we don't believe you.
Because we said we don't think it's true.
What kind of leader you want in the White House?
I'm saying that didn't happen.
Nancy Kerrigan, my ass.
Yeah. I'm going to say yes.
And you made it up anyway. We don't believe you, Dick. Have you talked to Mr. Bush? Is he a little bit relieved to have the weight of the world removed from his shoulders this morning?
George has no idea what's happening today. He thinks he's getting a merit badge.
He does.
For macrame.
Mm.
He thinks he's in the Cub Scouts.
All right, there's Dianne Feinstein. She's giving a speech. I guess she's saying...
that's a lot of woman right there.
Welcome.
She's saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm a Democrat, and I apologize.
She's
on behalf of all Democrats.
Why would she be apologizing? They won the White House. I mean,
because they know that
should be a happy day.
A Democrat in the White House spells doom, doom for the world.
We're in trouble. You could be right. I guess
not
only
trouble.
History will show.
Not trouble. Doom.
Doom.
Doom. Doom. Okay. Doom.
Look at all those
the
people.
End times. There's about eight people here.
No, there's like 2 million on the mall. They keep showing them.
What? No, they're showing the same people over and over again. It's just about eight of them.
That's just not true.
Two churro vendors. One guy's selling hot nuts. Another guy has a cooler. I think he's got, looks like Barks root beer in there, I think.
Mr. Vice President, you're a seasoned Washington veteran with decades of political experience. Did you have any advice for the incoming president?
Make as much cash off this gig as you can.
Okay.
Hire your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And when you leave office, do it in a wheelchair so people feel sorry for you.
Really?
That's my advice.
That's your advice.
Yeah.
Do you need to be in the wheelchair?
Define need.
Well, I'm saying, do you have to have it to move around?
Well, I need something to hide the shotgun in.
Oh, no, no, no. You're not bringing a shotgun to the inauguration. That's bad form.
I just got me a churro vendor.
That's not.
Churros for everybody. They're free now.
How many people are there that need churros?
About 8 people.
Mr. Cheney, last question before we go, sir. What happens to you now that you're going to be not holding public office for the first time in so long? What are you going to do with your retirement?
I will get back into the crypt. I will. They will lower the coffin into soil from my homeland, and then at night I will rise. I will rise in the evening and suck off the blood of virgins.
Wow,
yeah.
That sounds a lot more exciting.
Good gig. Yeah. Good gig. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, one last thought. There they are. There's the 2 million people.
8 people.
Diane Feinstein.
8 people, and 6 of them are his kids, I think.
We not only inaugurate a new administration.
Legitimate and illegitimate kids.
He just has the two, and they're both legitimate. Come on, Dick.
He's got about 12 illegitimate kids, and
that's
about
not true.
Showed up.
Call to
that's
greatness inspired
true.
By the 44th president. Thank
call
you.
Call to greatness inspired by the 43rd president.
That's not what she said.
Yes, she did. I just heard her.
All right.
I'm
listen.
Right behind the bitch. Watch me trip her.
All right, now who's that dude?
Fat guy in a beard.
Who is that fat guy?
That's Pastor Warren. That's the guy who's going to give the invocation, I think, what he's doing. Rick Warren is the guy right there.
It's kind of like Jerry Falwell.
Trip him. Mr. Ex-Vice President, trip that guy.
I can. My legs don't work. Barack Obama hit me with a Louisville slugger.
He didn't hit you with a bat.
And then, when I was down, he laughed. Evil, evil man.
All right, Mr. Cheney. Have a good retirement.
So.
Dick, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
Who are these people?
I don't know.
Too many people.
I don't know any of these people.
Guys, Aretha Franklin's hat? What was that all about?
Aretha Franklin just sang...
That was a crazy hat.
My Country Tis of Thee, I think, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. America the Beautiful, wasn't it?
America the Beautiful. And they couldn't show the bottom half of her, though. Just not even possible.
Well, there's not a big enough television.
Aretha's like an iceberg.
Anything you see of hers is just 10%. Everything else is just hidden below sea level.
That's a pretty sweet gig. Pretty sweet gig to get a singing on TV assignment 5 minutes before the president is sworn in, though. That's good PR for Aretha right there.
But what? She could have headlined. Now she's opening for a guy. That's not
but
good career move.
5 minutes
at all.
From the swearing in. She's
opening for Joe Biden, too. He's taking the oath right now. That's
a step 1 minute dieting before appearing on TV today. That's
Joe's got
I'm
the best
all
hair right. plugs in the business, by the way, Joe.
He does. That's true.
8:57 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're a little bit distracted by what's going on in Washington, but there's plenty of stuff happening in Hollywood as well. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday. What's going on?
Like good news for Veronica Mars fans. Rob Thomas, creator of Veronica Mars, has announced that since ABC has cut back on their episode order of his new TV series Cupid, that has freed him up to work on another project that he's been waiting for some time, which is Veronica Mars the movie.
Oh, wow. Mm.
I know that Kristen Bell wants to do it, he said. I want to do it. Joel Silver, the producer, wants to do it. Now I suddenly find myself with enough time to write that script. So for me, that's the next project.
Excellent. That'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
It was a funny show.
That was a great show. Do you think, though, it would translate to the big screen? You can't really do a bigger, better adventure with her because
right.
she does sort of have pretty low-key sort of investigative skills. That was pretty much every episode.
Right.
Her just looking into stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could be a good movie. I'm just worried that the moment is past for Veronica Mars fans to be excited enough to go out and see a movie.
Oh, don't say that. I want to see Kristen Bell.
I do love
the role. The rel.
I think I would be interested in going to that.
Rel.
I think they could pull it off.
I want to see her do that rel again. Dave with his effed up vowels. Christina Aguilera, little boy Max, had his first birthday party over the weekend. And her mom made sure... He had lots of fun stuff to celebrate. Apparently, the theme of the party was Where the Wild Things Are. And the guests all dined on mini peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
That's the famous children's book
yes.
from Morris Sendak. They're making a movie, I guess?
They are. And I've seen still photos from that movie. It looks terrific.
Giant size cans.
Yeah, Christina?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I wonder if they were Uncrustables, or whether she had
real... Her boobs?
No, the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches they were eating at the party. Apparently, a lot of celebrity kids were there as well. Harlow Richie Madden, daughter of Nicole Richie and Joel Madden, was there, and everyone had a great time. The total cost, $4 million for the party.
Seems a lot.
I'm just kidding.
That's Yo-Yo Ma and Itzhak Perlman now performing, Kevin, in case you're wondering who those guys are that are playing musical instruments.
Are you just going to talk about this?
I know, I'm just...
Bean, you just want to go? You just want to do blow-by-blow coverage of the inauguration? Is that what you'd rather be doing? Well, let's just do that.
I'm watching television. I don't know what you guys are doing.
Bean's perfect life would be on C-SPAN. He was able to host
TV.
C-SPAN.
And they asked people throughout the world, who was the number one ultimate rock god of all time?
Ultimate rock god of all
time. One Poll is the name of the survey company that asked 4,000 people throughout these United States and Europe and asked them, what is... the number one rock god of all time.
I wonder what do they mean by that?
Interesting results. Like the guy who, you know, you talk about somebody like, wow, Clapton's, he's just a god, you know?
Right, okay. Just an all-around rock star.
Who was the ultimate rock god? Yeah, Clapton, by the way, didn't even make the top 10.
Really?
Yeah.
I always think, because Led Zeppelin is the greatest hard rock band of all time, I always think Robert Plant should be number one.
Not even close. Not even close. Not even in the
really?
Top 10.
Mick Jagger. No, what? Then that's bogus.
Has to be Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger's number 10. 10th on the list.
Really?
Wow.
Of rock gods.
David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth not in the top 10.
Wow.
Crispin Glover. Crispin Glover, number one. Crispin
wow,
Glover is the
shock.
Ultimate rock god.
I didn't know what he's saying.
Bono is number 9.
Okay.
From
not
U2.
Good.
Slash from Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver is number 8 on the list.
Hmm. Okay.
For ultimate rock god.
Weird Al?
Weird Al, number 7, oddly
Mine?
Enough. No, Kurt Cobain, number 7 from Nirvana.
Okay.
Only
okay.
7, Cobain. I thought he'd be higher. Ozzy Osbourne, number 6 on the list.
Sure.
You know, Black Sabbath, his own solo career. Jimi Hendrix, 5th.
Okay.
David Bowie, 4th.
Ahead of Jimi Hendrix? Come
yep.
on.
Yep. Longer career, longer life, yeah. for that matter.
True.
I'm number 4 on this list. I'm number 4 on this list. I'm number 4 on this list. John Bon Jovi was 3rd.
Oh, that's so bogus.
Oh, come on.
I hope you die.
Are
you
kidding
me?
I didn't write the list. I'm just reporting it.
John Bon Jovi ahead of Kurt Cobain.
Elvis
and Mick
Presley.
Jagger.
Elvis Presley was 2nd on the list.
Stupid.
Right. No, that's legit.
Presley, come on.
He's talk the king
about
of rock
gods. He's the king
come
of rock
on.
And roll.
It doesn't seem like a
ultimate rock
god.
Ultimate
rock
god? Come on, Elvis. Even bigger in death than he was in life. If that's not a god, who is? Just ask Jesus. He knows all about
that's right.
that.
Yeah. Lead singer of Cattle Decapitation?
Number one.
Yes.
The lead
well,
singer of
are
Cattle
you ready for the big one?
Freddie Mercury of Queen, they say, was the number one rock god of all time.
He's got about the best voice ever, I think.
I think you may have a point.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah. He was a great live performer, very theatrical, very larger than life.
Sure.
Loved the fellas.
Yes, he did.
And blow.
Loved his cocaine. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rob Borden, who showed up 11th on the list, just missed out of being the number one rock god of all time.
Is that right? Wow.
From Linkin Park, 30 years old. Skeet Ulrich is 39. Rainn Wilson from The Office is 43. Bill Maher turns 53. Paul Stanley from the legendary rock band Kiss is 57. David Lynch, very talented director. How'd you like your Christmas present, by the way, Bean? Speaking of David Lynch, did you watch any of that stuff?
I haven't yet. I couldn't be more excited about it than I plan to make time for it. Ralph got me an awesome David Lynch box set of a whole bunch of his movies together and a bunch of, you know, short films and whatnot.
Like his rare stuff. Stuff you haven't
seen before.
Yeah,
the guy's a genius.
It's,
and, of course, Eraserhead, one of my favorite movies of all time. I can't wait to see that again in the new remastered edition.
It's January 20th, which means
right.
you've had a month.
Very busy.
Hasn't even cracked the seal yet.
Can't fit in one of those?
Didn't scratch the scratchers. Didn't open the videos. I'm not a man who enjoys his Christmas presents.
Says I couldn't be more excited about it.
Has no thrill. Thrilled.
Couldn't even take
love
the cellophane
it.
Off. That's how excited
I
am.
I tend to spread Christmas cheer all year long.
Sure,
I'm
me too.
Leave.
That's what you're known for.
I'm going to love having that in August when I get to it.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks to all of our special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ TV, weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. And thanks to the beautiful Annalyn McCord, who I was very impressed with on the phone today, by the way, from 90210. That airs tonight at 8 on the CW. And thanks to Ed Espinosa, California superdelegate, who is the Kevin and Bean correspondent at the inauguration, who saw exactly nothing.
Yeah. He had a ticket, but they wouldn't let him in.
How super can he be?
Really?
As a superdelegate.
Great question.
He can't get into the event.
And he was there like 3 hours early.
Yeah.
Couldn't get in.
He struggles.
This afternoon, K-Rock Band's doing Obama songs. We're going to give you a little taste of that.
That should be cool.
And I don't know if you've seen the list of items that is for sale across this country.
I've heard there's a lot.
With Barack Obama's face and or name and or, you know, logo on it.
But, everything. It's unbelievable that you can buy Barack Obama mixed nuts. I mean, whatever you can think of, they figured out a way to turn it into a presidential item. It's crazy.
There he is swearing in. How about that?
Sure is, raising his hand.
Raising his right hand.
Saying, I
He's
am.
He's about to be president.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly.
His middle name's Hussein?
What?
How did we elect this guy? He's an Arab.
All right. Join us this afternoon. We'll see you then.
It's a hell of an underbite that Michelle's working, isn't it?
No. Hey, come back tomorrow. We got a great show, and here's why. None of that. We're skipping that part today.
Jay Moore, comedian, in the studio tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Going to talk to the Carl's Jr. CEO about the...
Gotta find her. Gotta find her.
Trying to track down the girl that's in those commercials.
Steak girl.
Yep. Jorge Garcia from Lost will also be on tomorrow's show.
Oh, very cool.
How about that? That sounds great. All right. Don't go anywhere. Cat Corbett is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including the Kings of Leon, also Everlast, Rise Against Nirvana, Weezer, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, Cinco de la Tarde.
So what the hell happened? We take an extra day off, 3-day weekend, we come back, there's a black man running things? What happened, man? This is crazy.
That was some excitement this morning. Millions of people in Washington, D.C.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was something else. And, of course, you know, a lot of people here at K-Rock are excited. Not everybody, of course. Not everybody voted for the man, but we're all wishing him well. And I guess the K-Rock artists are getting involved now in, you know, not just the inaugural balls that are happening all over D.C. tonight, but everybody is speaking up and putting in their 2 cents about the new president and his family, right?
Have you heard the Daft Punk, Air Obama?
No, I heard Omar talking about this. This is available at the front page of KRock.com. They have done a song about Barack Obama. What's this about?
It's a remix by Adam Freeland. And here's a little take.
B-A-M-A, you are correct.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that.
It's very cool. We also have other K-Rock artists that have done Obama songs. I know that they haven't had a lot of time, but since this morning, you know, they whipped a little something up.
All right.
For example, we have Anthony Kiedis.
Oh.
Singing about the 44th president of the United States of America.
Oh, yeah! Barack, Bukaki, Tupaki, Teriyaki, Obama, Obama, Mama. Not spelled with a comma or a period. He ain't from California, California, California. Wackadacka, sangadanga, bongay.
There you go. Pretty nice, huh?
Wow.
That's going to be the first dance song of the official inaugural ball tonight with Barack and Michelle. So that should go well.
And then they'll follow that with the Beastie Boys.
Barack Obama, 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 Barack Obama.
Like. Put a lot of time into that.
Not a lot of work involved in that one. Got to be honest. You've heard Axl Rose by now. Axl Rose?
Oh, wait, I haven't.
His Obama song you haven't heard?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the White House. You're the president. You're not as fat as Norm on Cheers. He was played by George Webb in the White House. Welcome to the White House. It's in D.C. D.C. Washington, D.C.
He's got a lot to say.
Wow.
Come on.
I'm impressed.
Talking about the songs that have been recorded about the new president of the United States, Barack Obama. Angels and Airwaves.
Oh,
you heard that one
really?
Yet?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Barack Obama. Is from Neptune. He swims with angels on the pools of heavens.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, politics of ancient Greek gods. Yeah, playing chess on the sands of time. Drinking tea that makes them mystical and smart. Hooray for Barack Obama. And Neptune. Barack Obama.
Maybe he lost his way a little on that one.
That band is called Far, remaking the genuine song called Pony. By the way, those days are behind us where a white guy can just rip off a black guy's song. No more, man. Not with a new president. Ends now.
Have you guys seen all of the items that they have for sale?
Well, I know we talked to some K-Rock listeners this morning, you remember, Kevin, who were in Washington, D.C., and they said that's part of the story is you can buy literally any item you can think of with Barack Obama's name or face on it right now in D.C.
They can buy Obama cufflinks, tie bars, hats, chocolate candy with Obama's face on a stick. We have Obama hot sauce, sweatshirts, T-shirts, hats, mugs. Framed items are going really well, nice, with his image. Anything with his image, it's almost like the Pope. Anything with his image on it is a big seller. Probably 20% or 25% of our customer base now has been from overseas. A lot from England have been here. And they tell me that they're buying bags of stuff because everybody back home said, you better not come home without some Obama merchandise.
What's amazing is that's just one retailer. It's all over the country they're selling stuff like this. QVC is going to be broadcasting tonight selling Obama stuff from one of the inaugural balls. That's how tied in QVC is. They've already sold over 100,000 items related to President-elect Obama, now President Obama, on QVC alone.
We have Mel Bridgman, who is in product development at QVC, on the phone. Good morning, Mel.
Good afternoon, Kevin and Bane. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mel.
It's such a pleasure to be on your show, don't you know?
Well, it's always great to talk to anyone from QVC. You guys do a terrific job on your channel.
Thank you.
We're not overstating how popular this Obama merchandise is right now, are we?
No, it's crazy. People buy anything with Barack Obama's face on it.
You got necklaces, you got coins, you got handbags. I mean, just throw blankets. What are some of the items that you're most excited about offering on QVC tonight, Mel?
We've got some great deals, and I hope everybody will tune in for the new Obama Snuggie.
Oh, is that I love the Snuggie.
It's a Snuggie with Obama's face on it, and your arms come out through his eyes. It's a little creepy.
That doesn't
but
sound,
it keeps you
like
warm,
it.
And you can read a book.
That doesn't sound like a good item,
instead
though.
Of having your arms trapped under a blanket.
Well, yeah, that could be.
We've also got the Barakat Fisherman.
The what?
The Barakat Fisherman.
That doesn't sound...
It's a tiny little fishing rod, and in case you're in the middle of the lake and you decide you want to fish, you just reach into your pocket and pull out the Barakat Fisherman.
That's just a pocket fisherman with a different name, right?
And his face slapped on it.
Okay,
but
all right.
What's the point of that? Like, what does Barack Obama have to do with fishing? It doesn't make any sense, Mel.
He used to fish all the time. Back there where he grew up.
Where did he grow
place.
Up?
You know, where the fish were. By those streams.
Sure, yeah.
We've got, for the kitchen, we've got the Barack Chop.
The Barack Chop.
You just slap it and it chops things up. It's amazing. You can make a salad.
Mel, that's just the slap chop. That's a slap chop.
You can make nuts with it.
That's already an item.
You're going to love my nuts. With
it's
the
just
new
a
Barack
slap chop.
Chop.
That's all it is.
Wow.
Try new Baracky Putty.
Oh, come on.
Baracky Putty can seal anything. It's like an adhesive. It's amazing.
That's Mighty Putty.
That's like Mighty Putty. It's Baracky Putty.
You're just taking existing items and putting his picture on it.
That's not true.
Okay.
This is a Baracky Putty. It comes in the shape of his face.
Okay. All right.
You can get the new Sham Obama.
Come on.
That's
Sham
not even
Obama. And it holds 20 times its weight.
That's just the Sham Wow.
No, it's the Sham Obama.
These are all as seen on TV products.
How about the lean, mean Barack Obama grilling machine?
Come on. Right.
If you want to work out, you can work out with the Obama Flex.
You're not even trying.
It's the only weight lifting machine that's got rods.
It's the Bowflex. That's
Obama
all that is.
Flex. It's great. Try new Chia Obama.
Chia Pet. Come on.
It's his head, and you water it, and hair grows out of it.
These are not...
That could be pretty cool, actually. I would mind seeing
These are not unique items,
They
though.
Are unique.
No, Mel.
President Obama's personally had a hand in designing each and every one of them.
I'm guessing that's not true.
That's not true.
How about the album he recorded for us?
What?
He recorded... You know, Barack Obama is a very talented pianist.
No, I don't know. No. What are you talking about?
He is. He plays piano, loves classical music.
Okay.
And he's recorded a CD you can only get on QVC.
I find that hard to believe.
It's true. It's Barack Obama playing all of his favorite Mozart hits. The CD's called Barack Meets Amadeus. Yeah! Yes!
I believe we were set up, Kevin. Cinco de la Tarde, Inauguration Day, Spectacular. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday afternoon. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, we're just hours away from Idol. Can't wait.
Oh, yeah. More bad.
More Idol tonight.
Yeah. More super hot, excited. Too, by the way.
Yeah, tons of hot.
A lot of hotties this year so far.
We ain't chance to talk about that Casey Carlson.
Oh!
Who's that? I don't know. I don't watch the show.
She's the smoking hot brunette who was on the show, who was a really good singer, too, but apparently she just posed for a website called campusgirls.com, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just her in a bikini, just being all bikini wearing.
Bikini?
Yeah.
And
she's just diabolical. She's just
I don't
so
know
hot.
If she's as hot as Catherine McPhee, but she's in the ballpark.
Sure is. She's in the running. She's worth consideration.
Yep.
I'll be watching. The girl who wore the bikini to the show?
Yes.
She's a local girl from Southern California.
Oh,
she's
really?
From West Covina. And apparently, she's been fired from her job. She was a greeter at Hooters in West Covina.
Well, why did they fire her?
They fired her for taking repeated breaks during her shifts. She would just randomly wander off during her shift as a greeter at Hooters. And you know, Hooters, you walk in without a greeter, you know where the hell you're going.
That's true.
How do you know what aisle this stuff is in that you're looking for? You know, you need that.
That's a restaurant. There's no aisles, really.
Then why is she a greeter?
I don't know. Oh. She's not,
because that's
actually
all she could do.
Katrina Darrell's her name, 21 years old in West Covina. A friend says all Katrina ever talked about was becoming famous. Her one aim in life was to make it in Hollywood. And all that took was a bikini.
All right.
It's just that simple.
That works for me. We've talked about this before, especially in regards to Idol. I do think there's an epidemic of young people who don't feel like they need to really worry about anything or work toward anything because they're just going to be famous. That's their plan.
Oh, yeah. You see them every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked the one guy showed up trying to look like a rock and roll singer, had a bandana on. He was wearing leather pants. And he didn't get sent through. And he said afterwards, he was furious. He said, I put on leather pants and came out here and stood in the heat. I'm sweating my ass off.
Yeah.
What more do I have to do to make it in this business?
Sing
I swear
well?
To God, he said that.
I love that.
It's like, well, you did put all your whole life into it. You put some pants on.
That's the only
you sweat. So.
The only part of that show that I love is the people who are so seeking their approval. And then when they don't get it, they say, I don't need them. They don't know what they're talking about. I love that.
Anyway. He said in the audition, I've never been in a band. I've never sang lead for a band. But I know in my heart. I could be American Idol.
Yeah.
Sure.
What more do I have to do? I put on leather pants. Oh, I can't wait. More Fox News.
Come on, man. Believe in something.
There you go.
When Kiefer Sutherland was in here, did he tell you guys that this is the last season of 24? Did he mention that to you?
I don't believe
no,
that
he
was
didn't.
Discussed at all.
Hmm. No,
you
he
guys
didn't.
Missed the scoop.
How about that?
This apparently is the last hurrah for Jack Bauer. He said in an interview recently that it's the end. And although he kid, yeah, we're all going to die, he said, there's something beautiful and hopeful about the series finale. So I guess we'll have to find out at the end of this season how things end up.
Well, that's too bad.
However, there's already rumors that the show will be turned into a film series, like Sex and the City. They'll be doing 24 feature films, and that sounds plausible, because why would you give up a cash cow like that?
Excellent.
Fox also has announced they picked up a sitcom for next season about a mall cop in Buffalo, New York. Oh, oh, please let Kevin James be available to reprise his role as Paul Blart.
You think they're not
the
already
$39 million mall cop?
You think they're not already writing part two?
Of course
to that
they
movie?
Are. Of course they are. Maybe Brad Garrett can join him. They can just be, oh, one's real tall, one's real fat. They still can't get through tight places. They're the mall cops. Then I can just firebomb the theaters with everyone inside watching it.
Why you gotta hate, Ralph?
Because it's bad. And this is interesting music news. Eddie Vedder, you know him from Pearl Jam.
I do know her, yes.
David Grohl,
mm-hmm.
You probably know him from Foo Fighters.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They're taking part in a tribute album dedicated to the legendary singer-songwriter Nick Drake.
Really? Well, that's an interesting choice. I wouldn't.
Now, many of you may be saying, who the hell's Nick Drake? That's what I said when I read this story. Apparently, he's a guy who never had much success. He overdosed on drugs at the age of 26 in 1974.
Oh, wow.
But Nick has been a huge influence on many artists, so claims this article. So the CD and DVD was The DVD, rather, will be a filmed version of the sessions for the CD.
And all of it's going to be done on Jack Johnson's Brushfire record label. But apparently a lot of high-end celebrities participating in this tribute.
But they're singing his songs.
Right.
Yeah.
The songs of Nick Drake. Private Eye. Including Heath Ledger does a version of one of his songs.
Really?
How did they get him?
A song by Nick called Black Eyed Dog.
Black Eyed Dog, won't you come take away this bone?
It's a very entertaining song. Check that out. I have no idea who Nick Drake is, but I thought Eddie and Dave fans might be interested in hearing about that. You know Nick Drake is Psycho Mike?
Yeah,
you shaking your head in the affirmative over there as I was mentioning him.
Ralph, you would recognize at least one of his songs. He had a sudden rebirth in popularity a couple years ago when Volkswagen used one of his songs for a commercial called Pink Moon.
It was a commercial that aired.
For Volkswagen?
Sing
for Volkswagen.
It.
It was a commercial for Volkswagen.
Sing it, Bean.
I cannot.
Just a little bit.
I cannot.
Just give me a little taste.
Just a taste.
Pink Mike, do you remember
enough of the words? You remember enough of the words to sing it, Mike?
Yeah, it goes, Pink Moon, chariot, come for carry
That's
me.
That's not how it goes at all.
All right, here's the actual song.
Written on a song. There you go. That's the one from the Volkswagen spot.
Pink Moon is on his way.
You guys remember that one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Volkswagen
sure.
was driving.
Remember? They were driving the Volkswagen?
Down the road, and then they...
Right.
And then they...
So that Pink Moon, they pulled over and took a Polaroid?
They were, like, going to a party or something. I had a whole storyline. They were going to a party, and then they decided to just not get out of the car and go to the party because they were having so much fun driving around listening to that song.
I've got that was whole thing right about. In my mind right now.
Yes.
Anyway,
sure enough, they're in a bug.
Before Bean answered for me, Ralph, he is a huge influence on the Jack Johnson / Bright Eyes.
It does sound Jack Johnson-y, that
folky
song.
Folky singers. I mean, he a huge, huge influence.
So it's gay rock. Yeah. All right, there. Now we know. Today's celebrity birthdays, David Lynch, legendary movie director. When's he going to make another movie?
That's a good question.
It's been a long time.
It's he had that one that was out just briefly in limited release called...
Inland
Empire. That was a TV series, right, that he was working on or something? It ended up being released as a feature?
He's not for
right.
everyone.
I think you're right.
He is a acquired taste, but he is fascinating.
Yeah.
Paul Stanley from Kiss is 57 years old today. Bill Maher is 53. Rainn Wilson from The Office turns 43 years old today. Skeet Ulrich is 39. Did you see The Office episode, speaking of Rainn Wilson, where Andy finally found out that Angela was banging Dwight behind his back? Did you see that episode?
Yes.
No, I didn't see that.
They had the
one
duel.
Yet.
The duel out in the parking lot. Oh, screaming with laughter. Linkin Park drummer Rob Borden is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. What's on tap for the Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show tomorrow, Kevin?
Bean will bring in highlights of American Idol. I don't enjoy that show nearly
love
as
it.
Much.
Love it.
Comedian Jay Moore will be in studio.
Yes.
One of the funniest men alive.
Jay Coxmore?
Yes.
Oh, good. I can't wait to meet Jay Coxmore.
That's right. He changed his name since the last time he was in.
He's very talented, that Jay Coxmore.
We are going to go on a search for the chick that's in the Carl's Jr. steak sandwich commercials, because Ralph is obsessed. And Jorge Garcia is on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show, talking about Lost back tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll be placing wagers on how many times Kevin calls him Jose. First time we ever talked to him, that came up a few times.
How dare you?
Oh,
all
right,
that
like it didn't.
Making up stuff like
uh-huh.
that.
Tomorrow morning right here on the world famous K-Rock. But don't go anywhere. Nicole Alvarez is up next. She's got the Postal Service, also Linkin Park. Speaking of the birthday boy, Kings of Leon, Social D, Carolina Liar, and their latest and more right after this on K-Rock.